Blog Talk Radio.
Mickey Thompson, Performance Tires, carries all the specialty tires you need for street, strip, track, and off-road cars. They pride themselves on providing you with the best performance tires in the world. Mickey Thompson Performance Tires are available at a number of retail locations, such as Performance Plus, Jags, and McCormick Racing. For more information, log on to www.mickeythompsontires.com. Once again, www.mickeythompsontires.com. Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in Grudge Inc. Grudgebook.
Most likely I'ma die for my. I've been grinding outside all day with my. And I ain't going in unless I'm with my hitters. My hitter, my hitter. My hitter, my hitter.
My hitter, my hitter.
My hitters, my hitters.
My hitters, my
hitters. Yeah. First thing first, I'll evolve my hitter. This rap, and I evolve my hitter. You're looking for some rain, let me call my hitter. He selling for the high, I need all my niggas. Some you smoke some, you drink. Dad on the rock, what that they don't think. That's a new backup, they in a bucket laptop. I got to act right if you niggas wanna act up. He talking like a snitch, no, that ain't mine, yeah. He tripping off a bubble, no, that ain't mine, yeah. Taking taste, yeah, that's mine, yeah. Knowing since I was 8, yeah, that's mine, yeah. First pass throw to my head. Hit my first big pass with my head. My head. Cause I'm down for my hits. I ride for my hits. My
I said it, I'ma ride for my. Most likely I'ma die for my. I've been grinding outside all day with my. And I ain't going in unless I'm with my hitters. My hitter, my hitter. My hitter, my hitter.
I got two words for your love and loyalty. It was me and my niggas trippin' on that. Then when you see it, I'm walking by everything we see.
28, 2014. Jackie Boy, baby boy. At the Cadillac Brown table. I gotta host the show tonight, cause our brother Cadillac, he ain't feeling too good tonight. We got this weather. His weather kind of gave us a real good kicking for this 2000 start of 14 here. And I just want to give some shouts out to our sponsors. Getting Cut by Baby Boy. A couple of more guys that we got on the mic that's gonna come in and help me out a little bit on the show tonight. I got a topic, a good topic for tonight's show. We had a banquet this Sunday out in Dalton at the Dalton Javic Center in Dalton, Illinois. Big Skin and Ray Lowe, they threw a good, real nice banquet for the racers in the Chicagoland area, Indiana area. It was real nice. We had a real nice time. We had saw a lot of old world footage from the US 31. We congregated and had us a nice time. Ray Lowe and Skin gave out awards. That was nice for some of the guys that we had missed. Far as a lot of guys don't talk about. Far as the older guys, some of the guys that's younger that you don't know, you may not know from the Chicagoland area, Indiana area. We had a couple of guys come in and do pitches, and they had, Box Off, I think, Donna Pick is going to make a video. He had he didn't make it, but he had Sunday's Calvary of videographers to come in and stand in for him, and he did a great job and got some of the footage of the banquet. I want to have a good topic tonight. I think I'm going to talk about the guys that was getting on the radio shows, different shows, everybody locking in when there's snow on the ground. Now the weather's for the break, and I want to see if guys engage more so than talk. Then the weather break, and I'll get to the track and get right to it, and let's see some grudge racing, and more so, not all this talking, and let's come to the track and have us a good time and fellowship and do what drag racers do. Okay. Kate, what we got on the board up there? We got any callers in? We got any mics open?
We got mine over there.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on, man?
Okay, who we speaking with tonight?
You're speaking with Larry. What's going on, man? Talk to me.
What's going on, How you feel tonight?
Man, I'm hanging in there with both hands, man. Fine, I'm got y'all, man. That cabin fever got everybody shook up, man. They're ready to go, and the weather ain't broke yet, and so far and so on, man. But I believe it's coming. It's coming. Time coming. Then it'll be time to talk shit and lock in.
Yeah.
Yes,
That's what I want to experience that. Instead of all this old controversy and all this old talk over the radio and all these old people threatening locking in and all that old stuff. So, good Lord, let it be spring and let the earth get a little warm where we can plant this power with these guys with these cars and plant this power, and as me can come to the racetrack as a fan and come and support you guys and see me some good grudge racing.
Well, I'm sitting around now. I'm trying to wait on a report from down in Collinsville. You know, they got it going on in Collinsville tonight down at Gadget and Big Cross race. And I got a couple of people say that they're going to call me and let me know what's going on so that if I was on the show, then I could let y'all know what was happening. You know, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a lot of other people probably going to get some calls too, but I just thought I would speak on that, you know, because of the simple fact that I was on the show.
Yeah, that's what's up. We can just update, you know, keep you informed, you know. We can talk about it, you know, and get some of these people that don't travel, get them the experience to know some basically firsthand on, you know, as you get it.
Mm-hmm. What's up, baby?
What's going on? Who are we speaking with tonight?
What's up, Famo?
What's going on? How you feel,
Man, with my hands, baby, with my motherfucking hands. What's going on?
Man, slow motion, Slow motion, man.
Man,
you know? How you feel?
No motherfucking motion. Man, with my hands, baby. Thank God for that.
Until you call my brother back, get off the mic.
Man, I'm trying to say, what's going on? What's going on, D?
Man, you have been waiting to call for 6 months for you.
Man, D, you call me whenever you want to, man. What the fuck?
I don't have a digit no more. I broke that number. You got to check them to me.
What you do? You delete the motherfucker or what?
I actually ran over with a car. So I ended up getting a new phone, so I got no numbers now.
Yeah, damn.
Hit me up, 886-3490. Everybody got my number, 886-3490.
Okay, I got you, man. Yo, yeah, what y'all got going on? Did you bust it? You bringing the motherfucking beard back out or what? What's going on?
Well, actually, I am going to bring it out. I got a few street, you know, there's a few street tabs I'm tightening up here now. And get Barrage to wear a few more guys. Yeah, I'm going to bring it back out. It'll be out by the end of the year. It may not do no serious race this year, but it'll be ready for, you know, start of the season on next year. I'm kind of, I'm not counting on getting it going this year, but just getting it. I'm not counting on race this year, getting it going.
Oh, okay. This was I know. And who can I? Who did Cadillac tell? Go sit down somewhere and eat you some milk and cookies.
Oh man, Cadillac. That old Cadillac, man. That Cadillac, know he's funny, man.
They say Cadillac told somebody, man, you act like a little kid. Go sit down and eat you some milk and cookies.
And
yeah,
Noah
Lack
is no telling who he didn't tell it to.
Yeah. That old Cadillac, that man has, me and him and Uncle Larry, we be on the phone. We just be having us a good old time. Old Cadillac had you laughing so hard, man.
Hey, man, goddamn, little mama go so hard, give me a call, goddamn.
That's what up, huh? That's what's up, huh?
Yeah.
Anybody going to the Javic Center over in Rosemont to the World of Wheels this weekend?
No, I'll be in Harrisburg. I'll be down there at Clark Generation in the morning. I'm gonna get on that motherfucking bird in the sky and make that motherfucker fly.
Are you getting out here? You getting out here in the morning?
Yeah, I'm gonna do something in the morning, man.
You going, Larry?
I don't know. I might. It all depends.
Look, you talking about me? How you looking?
Hey,
look. That told me asking about me. How you looking?
I'm sorry. What's
how you looking, look? You about me? How you looking?
Well, Father,
with the car.
I'm looking pretty good. I'm looking pretty good. I hit a couple bumps in the road. I'm trying to rectify. I got to clean up a couple things before I can move again, because, you know, we got to fix up a couple things before I can continue full steam ahead. But I think I'm going to be all right.
I can't wait to see it, man. I know it's
going to
be
so long. Oh, yeah. For sure. You know, I'm talking about big sexy, they're gonna get past pregnant.
Oh, you crazy, man. Yes, sir. We got 80 calls. Y'all hit the one button. Y'all come on in. Y'all hit the one button. Y'all get in tonight's conversation. If you want to talk, just hit the one button. You want to talk to Uncle Leroy, baby boy, Uncle Larry, Mr. B, y'all just hit the old one button and just come on in the old show. It's okay. Ain't nobody going to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing but some grab. What
you talking? Bring your fucking ass on in, huh?
Yeah, bring your ass on in. Don't be scared.
What you say? These motherfucking hitters ain't going to get your fucking ass.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It ain't nothing but us and, you know, Some playboys laying around with some race cars. That's all.
Y'all didn't answer my motherfucking question, man. Who did Cadillac tell to sit their ass down and go eat them some motherfucking milk and cookies?
What's up? It's the Cadillac. Cadillac low oil pressure right now. But Cadillac got to keep on pushing, you heard me? Hey, Carla, what's up, brother? How you feel? Answer to your question. It was them East Side stranglers, strugglers, wannabe strangler cats. I told them lay down and get them some milky cookies. Give them some milky cookies, man. Because, you know, Cadillac finna put it down, baby. They ain't playing with these cats out here, man. You know, hey, Cadillac a little under the weather.
You understand? I'm under the weather a little bit, but the minutes would be in a little bit, so I wait patiently because I need some TLC. And, man, I got hot flashes, cold flashes. I'm dipping the dodge, boy. I'm like in a rainstorm with some hail. You understand what I'm saying? Cadillac gonna make it, but I just wanted to come in and tell everybody, appreciate y'all tuning in. I'm under the weather, so I'll be in and out. But, man, y'all get on the topic, man. It's the table, man. It's the round, the night table, man. We get it in over here, man. Real things. We ain't talking no junk. We talking men talk over here. You heard me? We gonna make it better. What's good for the year? Where you see you going? Where you going? What's your plan? Because you gotta have a plan because you can't go nowhere if you ain't got no plan. You heard me? This Cadillac, I'm listening at you. Yeah. Push that one button. Don't be scared. Push the one button, and we're going to give you some milk and cookies. Come on. Hey. Hello? Yeah.
Go ahead. Who we talking with tonight?
This is Cal City.
Cal City. Cal, what's up, brother?
Not much. Just want to let y'all know that I got to pick. He got some that footage.
Uh-huh.
And from my understanding, he received it Wednesday, so he said he's going to work on it Thursday, and he's probably down in Collinsville right now. But I was supposed to go there, but I'm under the weather myself, so I canceled my whole trip.
Yeah, man, I guess Sunday.
He do have the footage, so hopefully it'll be out sometime next week.
Hey, Cal City, Cal.
Hey, Cal City.
Hey, listen here, man. I want all the listeners to know that Cal City Cal did a great job on the footage. He was the videographer Sunday at the banquet we had. Man, if you cats didn't make it, y'all missed a good one, man. It was some everybody there, man. And you know what? Man, youngsters, we showed you how it's done, man. We was men. Nobody acted a fool. Nobody moved. Nobody got hurt. We had a great time, man. We seen cats we ain't seen in years, man. So we had. I want to take say again to Raylo and Skin, man. Good job, man. I can't wait to the next one, man. We got to keep this going here, cause man, we had a great time. So if you was at the banquet, hey, that's what we gonna talk about tonight. If you was at the banquet, that's one of the topics. Push the one button. Come on in. Tell us what you liked about it. Cadillac's on the side. I got the four ways on.
Man, you know what? I didn't make the banquet, but I've got several calls, man. And so far, everyone I've called me said it was just a tremendous thing, man. It was tremendous. One guy called me, man, D-Man, I can't wait for next year for us to do it again. And Ray was on the air last night. He's already made the announcement. He's definitely going to do it again next year. He said he got a new twist for it. So he's looking for it to be bigger and greater every year, get bigger and better.
Man, that's what's up.
This truck just had me strung out.
Hey, I'm still on.
Yeah.
What was the funniest thing on Sunday, man, you heard or saw at the bank with Sunday, man? I don't mean to bring this back up, but I...
Hey, Larry, you know I can't get involved in that. I try to take a diplomatic approach and stay in a politically correct atmosphere. So I can't indulge in such conversations as you're trying to send me into. I'll say this, though, and I ain't going to say no more.
No. It was a black cat.
No, you stop there.
You wrong for that.
No, I'm not.
You need to cut that out,
no,
man.
No,
you need to cut that out. You wrong, Shawty.
Hey, man.
Hey.
She is crazy, man. That dude a fool, man. That man told that man looked like that.
There you go, baby.
See, there you go with that BS, man. Go with that. I say, man, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna buy you along with next year, man. I'm gonna help you with what you want, man. Cause Cadillac wants you to be out there, right? You was doing your thing. You was proud. Hey, I ain't got nothing to say, but man, it was. Everybody was cracking. Hey, cracking. So
Hey, he brought it on himself though. You can't be in a room full of comedians and whatnot like that, man. You can't do it, man.
I love everybody, man. Hey, on D, I can tell you. Hold up, on D, I can tell you, man. They had four at the animal shelter talking about they was missing their fur. That's all I was saying.
Oh, it was fur in that motherfucker, man.
So y'all need some help, man.
Hey, I just going by what came on the report, man. Hey, I got the police scattered, man. They was talking about it was full and they was raped. They had no fur. And they was black. That's all I heard, man. They was black. That's all I'm going to say.
What kind of animal was it?
Man, it was a pool.
That boy said it was a poodle.
They said it was a poodle, but you know they had a discretion because they was sad to say it was a rabbit, but they said no, it wasn't a rabbit because the rabbit didn't have that much skin. It was full poodle, so the one he had on it was him. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, motherfucking poodle.
Oh boy.
Oh man, but we had a good time, man.
Hey,
I seen a lot of cats I ain't seen.
Yeah.
Hey,
all five was there.
Who you say was there? Can I?
It was Alcar. Pat and Jay. They was Pat. Jay was there. Pat wasn't there. But you had Tyrone. You had Jimmy. You had all those cats, man. They was there, man. Then I seen old Big Neck, what's his name, with the Trans Am. I can't think of his name right now. That cat neck, big as my fist now. I was glad to see him. Then you had the cats from, who was that? Donye, Chi-Town Most Finest.
Yeah, Fade the Black was there. Ground the Pound
the Black.
Was there.
Yeah, Ground the Pound was in the house. Yeah, Tommy
was there.
Yeah, Tommy was there.
Yeah. SVO.
Yeah, Herbie was there, too. SVO was there.
Yeah, Terry was there.
Herbie Fullspeed was there. Herbie Fullspeed was there. Big Brett was there. James was there. That was old. Yeah. Hey, you was there. You just wasn't seen. You was spying out the camp. You know what you do. You lay back. But it was good, man. We had a good time, man. We had a real good time. Only thing we was missing was the dice game in the hole. That's what we was missing. That's it. You know how you used to go out there to
we need a country at end. We need a dance at end when we got started. Country had been around.
Yeah, boy. It was really good, man. I enjoyed myself. I'm sure I enjoyed myself. That's the reason I'm sick now. I was laughing so hard and Cal City Cal, that's my man. He had me on the floor. Hey, big shouts out to Big Time Reese. I'm going to cut him up. I'm going to stick my cap on him. Watch out. Big Time Racing, what's up? If y'all on the line, pick the mic up, man. But we had anybody out there, pick up the mic. Let's talk about it. I'm going to hang out with y'all as long as I can, man. I'm out the hospital. I ain't got the cold and hot flashes now. I'm back cool so I can talk. Hello?
Said you can talk.
He got the
midget there making body heat.
She ain't got here yet. She ain't got here yet, dog. Hey, that's what you... Hey, D, you hit it on the head. That's what I need to... Hey, bust a pipe one time. That's what I need to do. She told me when she get off, she be by here. Go ahead, baby. I be waiting.
She gonna see what she working with.
Oh yeah, she working with something. Hey, that's it, man. I got the heat up. It's 80 degrees. Man, I fell off into a cold spell. Now I'm like my coat and my t-shirt. I'm like I'm in a cold sweat. Everything wet. don't know. This is crazy.
Hey, hey, you know, like you say mama about to come back and bust a bike.
Yeah, man. Better bust a bike, baby. Hey, let it ramble. hey, I put this song on for her. I told her I won't be a player no more, baby. I won't be a player. Hey, I had my man Joe on busting. I come down the pipe on the herb.
Yes,
she grabbed them ankles. She grabbed them ankles. I'd be all in them, you know, them ovaries.
Oh, man. Hey,
no,
look, we got a lot of guys. We got a lot of guys coming on the air, man, booking these ghost races. Carl's not ready. Some guys just not going to race their way, and they book these races. They had a topic last night. Let me see what you think about it. Yeah, my man Big Sham had a topic last night that says, what do you think if a guy only got, say, $500? Would you feel he's a racer if you're racing for that $500, or do you think you're trying to get out of racing by saying it's not enough?
Well, like I told him, you know, it's a gentleman. I think $500 to $1,000. I think that's a good gentleman's bet. You know, if you want to go I'll start talking about a real high profile race, from $2,000 to $2,500 with everybody pitching in. I think that's a decent race right along now in 2014, especially. With times is how hard they is now, I think that's a decent sized race. At $2,500, $2,000, you got two or three guys got $500. They can, you know, they believe in your car, you know, and the car runs good. I think, me personally, I think that's a decent race. Not all that $5,000 and $7,000 races and stuff like that. I think them track races more so than, you know, going to the street with it, you know. So,
what's the difference if you go to a track and a man only say he got $500, but you can get your other $1,500, $2,000 on the side? What's the difference in the pot?
Well, you said it last night. You know, as long as if he don't want to bet it in the pot, you can get it on the side. Kill two birds with one stone with that.
You still getting your bets on.
Yeah, you still, and everybody, you know, I think I feel comfortable with, you know, betting a few $100 more so than, you know, taking money out of their house.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
I got one for you, Larry, and I will see what you think of this. What make a high-profile race? What do you think make a high-profile race, man?
What makes a high-profile race?
Yeah.
What is two guys that has put in a lot of in a racing game, and both of them are pretty quick in the class that they're in, and everybody wants to see them two people go.
What would be a difference then if, say, look at that, he got a 09 and I got an 08. Let's say we go to the line and we both got Cadillacs.
Let's say we go to the line
and we bet $5,000. What's the difference there?
The hood checking in. That's still inside in the race.
Say what
now?
Yeah, we both going to bet $5,000 on these Cadillacs and be racing. But everybody at the track gonna come to the fence to see this race. What's the difference?
They're coming to see y'all then. That's the only difference.
Yes, that's
to see you all.
That was my whole point right there. If you got a good mouthpiece, you have sold yourself in this grudge racing world to be a high profile drag racer. And all it takes is a mouthpiece. See, if Luck and I go to the line right now with some Cadillacs to race, and we say we bet $5,000, we may be betting lunch. But all we got to do is say we bet $5,000. Everybody at that track going to gather around their gate to see the race. But if I take a little ride and run in Camaro, everybody will gather around to see it.
Wow. What y'all just asked about a high profile race? I can answer that question.
What classifies as a high profile?
The stunner.
What's going on,
stunner? What's up, dude?
Hey, what's happening?
What's up, stunner?
Yeah, I want to know what makes a high profile. What makes that race so much more than that?
It's actually a couple of things. I mean, one thing you consider would be, first, I think like Larry said, it's like two people that's kind of nationally known or got high recognition, or it actually don't take but one person that's nationally known.
The reputation.
Hold on. You know, just like one person can make another person popular. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, you gotta look at it like this. Okay, I'll tell you a high profile race that's gonna be Butt Naked and Realtree.
And Realtree, yeah.
Butt Naked is probably more nationally known. Realtree is trying to get that national recognition.
Okay.
That's the main reason why that race, I think, is one of the main reasons why it's trying to be taking place now anyway. And one thing, y'all see, I've been pushing Realtree to travel where his ass at this weekend. down there in Mississippi. You see, they act like they don't care what Grudge Inc. say and what Grudge Inc. do, but what they do. That man ain't been to a fat tooth in his life.
DJ, what's going on? I want to key in on that. I want to follow up with how y'all doing, Top Flight, Cadillac, little man.
Yes, sir.
I want to key in on what DJ's saying. What's going on, DJ?
Hey, what's happening, brother?
What makes a high-profile race? Y'all know Chemo. I want to go in the back dope with Chemo. So that's what makes a high-profile race. Y'all know him the race. I'm just a talk show host that want to get in Chemo. So that's what a high-profile race is. Y'all ain't never seen the bread man go down through there, but you will. And if you don't believe me, just watch me. 2014. I'm going back home.
I'm gonna finish what I was saying. Hold on. Let me finish what I was saying. The other thing is, it's like, you know, people that's got a true legitimate grudge, or a race that's got a lot of controversy surrounding it. I mean, pretty much every race Cold Killer was in this year was considered a high profile race because everybody was looking. Cold Killer walk. They want to see if he really walked it like he talked it. You know, he did that.
They wanted to be the one to knock him off.
But the thing was, he never bagged down to nobody that sat like him.
No.
Which made, you know, he walked with his chest out. So, I mean, but at the same time, anytime a challenge presented itself, he didn't bag down. That's what made all of his races high profile and made the offer when he started winning. Then it got to a point somebody wanted to knock him off. Anybody that actually challenged him or something that was considered a contender automatically made their race, you know, even though they may not have had the status of Cold Killer, but it made them made that race a high profile race by them racing. Every race Cold Killer was in could have went either way. And when I say that is because every car he didn't go up against no cream puffs. I mean, a couple of people might have considered cream puffs in my eyes, but you know.
Well, see, now let me say this. See, I asked that question for a reason. See, like here in Chicago, I haven't raced in years, but I'm known. Luck ain't racist, man, but he's known. If we go to the track, any track here in the north today, and sit down two brand new Cadillacs to run, all we got to do is say we're running for 5,000. I promise you, everybody at the track coming to that line. What's the difference in that
race? I agree.
That's my point. See, that's my point right there.
Let me tell you this. Okay, but that's y'all. That's you and that man. That what you got to understand is both of y'all are y'all both from the same area or no? Okay.
Yeah.
The difference, I mean, the kind of the difference between that is not a national, per se, high-profile race.
So I keep hearing that word national, but
now,
I,
let me tell you,
I have
let me
a
tell you,
problem
I mean,
with what
let,
makes
let
it
tell,
national.
Let me tell you that. Let me tell you what makes that what makes it national. Basically, how everybody was kind of how everybody kind of won these awards that they won this year. That was kind of that went off of that pretty much kind of like based off of national recognition the way they was actually nominated, like Ground and Pound. Like, I mean, you got to understand, everybody heard that name. But some people don't may not know who Ground and Pound is, but guess what? They've heard Ground and Pound, Ground and Pound, Ground and Pound. They hear it so many times. They doing stuff. They see them doing stuff here. They see them doing stuff there. So they know that name, Ground and Pound. They may not even know the individual, may not even know the car. But they know that name, Ground and Pound. They have national recognition in the grudge world. And
I agree with you 100%.
Not to change the subject, but the real reason I hit the one button was because I want to speak on, a gentleman came on earlier about the money that we put up to bet one another. And I'm in agreement with a gentleman's bet is $5 to $1,000 if that individual, but I want to throw this out there. What if I came to you with a decent high profile car, you know what I mean? sub 550, 5.0 car, okay? And all I had at that time to bet was $300. But I didn't go roll down. What I mean by roll down here is, you know, step to someone and you know, try to get a run from them. But they came to me and say, Brad, let me run you. And all I said I had was $300. Why would I be considered? And I'm keeping it real. I ain't go nowhere else and say, hey, can y'all come in and bet with me? I'm only telling you what I have to lose. Why is it that when it's looked at that way, you know, you got to be poor or you know what I mean, you got to be running. I would like someone to expound on that because I really, you know what I mean, is it fair for me to invest $40,000 and allow somebody that just because at that time they feel that they can make some money or the race is good for them to come in on my gamble and put in on my pot? Is that fair to me? I wanted to bring that up.
Hey, well, I'm gonna say this, Mr. Brett.
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna
come
say
on
this.
With.
Well, you got expenses to get to the track. That's first and foremost. You got gas. You got to get your car there. You got to pay to get in. So, if you race someone for a certain amount of money, and I'm there to support you, and I think, as you say, baby boy, I think I can beat him. And you say, I ain't got number $300 or $500. Well, I say, well, I got another $1,000. Well, tell them we're running for $1,500. Tell them we're running for $1,500. And by you racing him, and just say you win the race. Why it ain't for me to give you some of the proceeds that I won because you that's your car you raced. First of all, and I betted with you on your gamble. So why not, you know, give you some of my winnings? That'll be only fair and as a gentleman, as a fellow racer, that not just looking at the part of the money part of it, but I still won. You still won. So I think that would be more fair than not to, you know, not invest with you, and I think you can win.
Hey, baby boy, you know, hold on one second. It's funny you said that because, you know, hear about maybe, what, 5-6 months ago, a topic like that came up. And one young man came on there and said that if you bid in his pot, he was getting 10% of your money. If I bring my car to the track today and I got $300 in my pocket or $500 in my pocket, that's what I brought to gamble with. I know this is all I have to gamble before I leave home.
Exactly.
And also, I know I got a $50,000 or $60,000 car here that I'm willing to bet $500 on. So what am I getting at? If all I have is $500 or $600 to bet in my own $50,000, see, because that car I built, that was done because I wanted to. It was done for my pleasure. If someone else just happened to take a chance on it. See, because when you put your money in my pot, you are taking a chance on a couple of things. You take a chance that, one, you think I can win. Two, you take a chance I'm going to get to the finish line. Three, you take a chance that my car might break. So now you might end up losing your money on a mishap just like I lost mine. So am I going to give you 10% on your money because you lost? Hell to the no. So what's going to end up happening is that I told a guy this, like I said, a few months ago, if a man bet $300 out of his pocket on his car, that's what he had to bet. If he win, then that's all he's got coming. Now, if you want to be, as you say, a gentleman and give him some money, that's your choice. But he shouldn't be expecting you to give him nothing because you bet $3,000 with him. I'm just throwing a number out there. He shouldn't expect that because that was your $3,000 and you bet it, that you took a chance on, like he bet his $500 took a chance on. You see what I'm saying? See, that's something I tried to get started, and that's something, and me, myself, personally, I mean, I'm just a dumb truck driver, but me, myself, personally, I think that's something that it should really be left out of drag racing completely, because all it's going to do is open up a can of worms. I think that earlier, I'm going to do the same thing now. That will open up a can of worms, man, that will just bite everybody. Because if a man bet in my pocket, in my purse, rather, and think he's got 10% of my money coming because he bet in my pot, man, he might well knuckle up and guard his grill because we finna get dusty. Because I'm not giving you nothing. I don't owe you nothing. I'm not giving you nothing. Why should I? If my car broke, you're going to come give me 10% of what my bill be when I broke. Okay, my engine costs $10,000. What about you all that? No one's going to do that. No one. And anyone said they're going to do it, it's telling the damn lie.
Well, let me
being real.
Can I let you? I'm not trying to open up a can of worms or argue about anything.
No, I think what you said is a good thing to say, Britt. I'm glad you said that.
But see, this is what let me put it to you this way too. See, why is it the guy? Why is it fair that say I don't invest $60,000 of my own money? Why is it fair for the guy to walk up? Even that's how I love. No, I'm going to be honest with you. Me personally, in my opinion, the guy that really makes the great amount of money is the people that don't own the car. The fans are the ones that makes the most money off races.
Of course, because they got nothing invested.
Exactly. So why shouldn't you pay? If you win, look at what you gain for $3,000 bet. But if I lose, look at what I've cost myself. I've lost my money.
Listen to what you just said, Brett. You said if he wins, he walks away with $3,000 profit. What if he loses? He lost $3,000. So now, am I going to reach in my pocket and give that man $300 back because he lost $3,000? Like I said, hell to the no.
Exactly. But look at this right here.
You should not go expecting him to give you a damn thing because he bet. See, because first of all, he can't bet $3,000 in your pot unless you allow him to. Just because he's got more money than you got, just because not so much more money you got because he has more money to bet at that specific time than you have, that don't entitle you to some of his profit if he wins, because you're not going to give him nothing if he loses. That's a two-headed coin there. We're looking at it from the profit side, but no one want to flip that coin over. Flip it over the other side. He lost $3,000. So I'm going to hold my hand out because I know I got $300 coming back.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Give it to me.
Okay. Who am I speaking to, first of all, so I can address you as a name?
This the Lowrider out of Chicago. This must be.
Okay, Mr. Lowrider. Thank you. Mr. Lowrider, let me throw another variable in there. Okay. Let's say I won, but blowed my motor while I was winning. I blowed my engine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you feel then, even though I've had 3,000 in the pot, I just made you six. You know, I just made you a 3,000 profit. Do you feel then I deserve to get something to put back in my car, seeing that I've invested 60,000? Or you feel
I hope you're sitting down, because I don't want you to fall, because my ass is still hell to the no. Because that 60 that you invested in, see, first thing is first, that 60 that you invested in it, you did it for one reason only. Well, two reasons, I'm going to say that. One, you did it because you wanted to. Two, you did it because you probably was able to. But by the same token, that was your 60. That's your car. See, when that car leave the track at night, I can't take that car home with me.
But
I can't turn around.
That you bet and won off of these.
I want to take it. I want to take it. Here's the key, though, Brad, man. I can only take the proceeds that I bet it because I had it to gamble with and won. If I lose, I can only take my tail and my ass and take that ass over home.
But that goes.
We only want to look at it because it sounds good from the profitable side. No, we want to look at it from the negative side. I have a tendency to be that person looking from both sides. A man don't owe you nothing. He owe you nothing because you allowed me to bet that. Well, okay, let me say this here. Check this out, Brimmer. Check this out. Let's say you don't bet at 3,000 in your pot. Let's say you sat there and you see him bet DJ Grant 3,000 on the side. That's not your pot. That's on the side. And you going to go to DJ Grant and tell me he owe you $300 because he won?
Well,
so you're not going to do that.
That was going to be my next point, Low Rider. See, everything, grudge racing is about stiffing. And if I allow, if baby wanted to come and put a grand in my pot, I'm going to say, hey, if I felt that way, you know what I mean, then I say, hey, I need to get some of this here. But that needs to be addressed before we ever go and decide to make the run. See, that's the thing. So that'll be your decision
so
at the time, too. You know what I mean? And if he said, no, I don't owe you nothing, then I don't have to run my car. Or if you don't want to run for the 300,
you have to bet. You can run your car, but you have to let it bet in your pot.
Exactly.
That's your option. That's your choice. You have to let it bet in your pot. But see, one thing about gambling, money has only one color, and it spins abroad. So if I can't bet in your pot, I can turn right around to the next man. It's probably 10 people standing in line trying to get my bet. If I want to bet two cars at that staging beam, whichever car I choose, I guarantee Mo told you, I can get a bet on.
I'm not denying that, but I guarantee you, if I'm at the track and I was in that situation and I had a good chance of winning, you know what I mean? If I was allowed you to get in my pot, there would be some type of consolation coming behind it as well. You know what I mean? If I didn't
Let's say you got a 5-0 car, and the car you gonna run. Let's say you gonna run Luck, and said Luck can run 520. He getting the move. He getting the break. Kind of iffy here. So you don't mind me betting your pot. But let's turn that thing around. See, like I tell you, I look at it from both sides. Let's turn it around. Let's say Luck got a 720 car and you got a 5-0 car. Are you going to let me bet the 3,000 with you now? Or are you going to try to borrow it from me to bet it for yourself and pay me back in a minute?
Well, here's the deal. I'm not trying to run from your question, but I want this is great. This is great. And you know, we're just debating. We're arguing about this because, I understand your feeling about it, and I'm sure you feel what I'm saying. But I want to ask you right here. Remember just a minute ago they was talking about these Cadillacs running for 5,000, right? Say that individual that you just named is a very high-profile individual, and I'm just the bread man. You ain't really never seen me. But everybody want to see the race. Everybody want to see the race. And you know that I just told them, this is all I have. Now, what if everybody else pitched in the rest of that money? You know what I mean? Should then I get some? You know what I mean? Because that's basically what the grudge racing is about. What makes it profile and high is what the fans want to see. You know what I mean? They got some that want to see these two guys run. You got some want to see these two guys run. But not all the time that these individuals have the money to really do it. So it's going to take somebody with a pot or to gather a pot to do it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I've been doing this thing over 40 years. And I'm sure you go to the track all the time yourself. I'm about to hit you with something. Watch what I hit you with. Do you know every race go out in that track, some fans want to see you? Was it a 15-second car or a 380 car? Every time one or two cars, whether it be a solo blast or two cars go to that beam, it's fans want to see it.
But
you
see,
got
let
to sit
me, let
in the bleachers and watch it every race. We used to sit up in the bleachers at 30. We used to sit up in Grove and Rockford. We were sitting in the bleachers, man, and we bet $5 and $10, $20, you know, on 15, 20-second cars. I have lost as much as $500-$600 in the track betting on 15-second cars.
Well,
and
you're
only betting $10, $20.
Can I hit you with something as well, Lowrider?
Okay.
I've been in racing over 40 years. I have myself, and the reason I go to the drag strip is to see action, not the barbecue, but to see action. Okay, that's the reason I pay my money to come through the gate. I either come to bring action, or if my car is down, I come to fellowship. Let me go ahead, Top Flight Security. Fellowship with my fellow individuals, and you know what I mean, be of any help to any racers out there that need me. That's what I come to do. So, you know, I understand where you're going, but where is the action going now, and why is the action the way it is?
So hey, DJ.
Yeah.
Look, you
still
on?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Go ahead, huh?
What do you think of that? You think a man is entitled to some of your money if you win? No, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. I'm never saying there's anything wrong with giving a person something that what your heart takes to do. I'm never saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm clear for what I'm saying. Do you think a person is entitled?
No,
to 10% of your money if you win?
I do not.
Okay. Do you think that person is going to give you 10% of your money back if you lose?
No. I don't think so. Anyway, this is all of this is like this. Best thing in the world is understanding when it goes to when it goes to a pot. You got some people that got enough money and really don't want nobody in their pot, and some people just want to go in the pot because they want to look at it from a standpoint. They know that usually if their money in the pot is pretty much guaranteed. You know, some of them feel a little more secure with their money being in the pot.
That's right.
You know.
But you know something about that, though, DJ? Have you ever noticed this? And I've seen it in kind of several. I mean, you know, like, we don't really street race that much here now. But back when I was drag racing, man, we street raced every night. And I've seen it unfold night in and night out. I was doing some things back in the day that kept my pockets full.
Gotcha.
And when that race that you felt was ain't even going to be close to being tight, you didn't want nobody betting with you. I got this. If you felt that race was tight, I've seen guys turn, man, I promise you I have. Now, if you think I'm lying, I got two or three guys on this line. Luck is on here. Larry's on here. Kids might be on here. And I get it to you. Say what I'm about to tell you. They will agree to what I'm about to say. They have one of the guys that asked them, you want some of this? You want some of this?
Yeah.
Only because they feel like it was tight. But if they feel like it's going to be a runaway, oh, I got this. I get all this. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that several times.
I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying, I mean, if I have a pot and my rules, if you want to get in my pot, this is what it's going to be. You have that option to get in it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, period.
But I
honestly feel like, you know, if I go to the track, I lose, I blow up my motor, whatever. This is what I do. This is what I choose to do. If somebody want to help me, whatever, fine. If not, hey, I'm not mad at nobody because this is what I do.
That's it. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I'll speak for this on 1 second, this hood. Now, when it comes to a pot in racing, it depends on the relationship with the people that's in the bet, too. Because if my driver or my camp doing something, they know that it ain't going to be that type of, I'm going to put it straight in my pocket. It's just not going to happen. My driver going to get tow off, or whoever I feel is going to get some of my money. They know that before we even get the pot going. And at a casino, it's an unwritten rule. if you hitting big, you might get that deal or something. You might give them a lot. You might give them a little, but that's your option. But I see a lot of people at the casino. Tear that man off.
Listen what you're saying. Usually that's an unwritten rule, because if you go to the casino tonight and win $20,000, they're going to give you a check for $20,000. They're not going to take $2,000 out and say, oh, you owe me this. This is mine for my cut. They're not going to do that. They're going to give you $20,000. Now, if you choose to give him that too, that's on you. See, my
but
thing
while you
is this,
playing
this,
and while you hitting big, that dealer is going to give you a look. And you're going to give him a look back. And there's going to be a lot of conversation going on, and y'all two didn't say no words. And that's the same way it would have betted the track.
You know what I'm going to tell that dealer?
Well,
I'm going to tell that dealer,
gonna
if you don't like his job, get a better
look.
Job. I'm going to tell him if he don't like his job, get a better job.
Same
like
way,
like
the same
thing
you're going to tell that man with that car that built that car. And he might keep you out that pot next time.
But see, the thing with me is this, brother. I don't even care about being kept out that pot. See, because one thing about a pot, I've seen it happen several times. It can be a big commotion about that pot money. If you can very much easily get your understanding with a guy on the side than you can in that pot. Man, they're
not
going
to argue with you on that.
Hey, Mr.
This
B,
is how
the
race going to go. We're going to pay off like this. We don't care what they do. We're going to pay off like this here. When that race takes place, that man going to pay you or you going to pay him. I've seen pots come up, man, and then nobody get paid. Now, I could have had my $3,000 on the side and been gone.
Hey,
exactly.
See, I wish
your
big head
mother
would
come tell me I
owe
something about my
pot.
I think that's all
you follow. Hey, B and Hood, y'all can tell T5. T5 is on.
I got a question for everybody. Think about this now. Should we make up a rule, say, for instance, a race get called one way while we at the track, and then, okay, say, for instance, Cold Killer and who was he, right? Tony Wright, that race, right? Say, for instance, everybody get paid or people on the side get paid and they bet it with Tony Wright. Then it comes back that Tony Wright actually didn't win or something was wrong with, for whatever reason, the decision was reversed. What do you do? What do the people do that bet on the side if that decision has been made after they done left the track?
I've seen it happen.
Should it be a rule, you know, up until the time the track closed, up to the time the track we need a track, or what? I mean, what do you do really
DJ.
Happens?
That has happened several times here. And once that money's paid off, I can't tell you. Hey, look, are you on? Later, are you on? I can't think of no one in Chicago can tell me that money has ever went back to where it came from.
I know, right?
Once that paper has changed hands, that's it, player. It's over. Lock, stock, and barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, that's what I say. Like I said it several times. They come with this thing. See, they got a new thing they call the stiffs. Man, we did this back in the 70s and 80s. It's nothing new to us. It's new to the guys in the South. It's nothing new to us up here in Chicago. Because we did all this here. Everything they can imagine in drag racing, we done it and tried it several times over. So it's nothing new. This thing about getting timber. I had a guy jumped out the car here in Chicago. I bet it with them. I believe it was 200 I bet it with them. Come and told me, hey, kick it in for that good driving I just done. I do a kick in your ass and you'll get out of my face. Oh, you shit. So what did I give him? Nothing. If I was thinking about getting him something, I wouldn't have gave it to him after that. But he wanted to get paid for the good driving he had done. I mean, if you got a driver driving your car, isn't that his job to drive to the best of his ability? If he's not, you don't need to rent your car.
True.
You know, it's like I said, man, it's a two-edged sword there. It really is. Because me, myself, personally, I'm not giving you nothing for betting my pot, because when I lose, you don't give me nothing back. When I blow my trash, you know,
I know personal friends going to give you that to help you get your car going. I don't see it happen. So what do I owe you for winning you some money? You owe me yet? Well, when I catch the lottery tomorrow, I'm gonna send the Illinois lottery back 10% of my money. I'm gonna tell them, thanks for letting me win.
They're gonna get more money than that. You hit, you know, really.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. It just don't work that way, man. It just don't work that way. I mean, that's a game that's been tried here in Chicago a thousand years ago. It has never worked here in Chicago.
It's just in the stiff that you make. I thought somebody say T5 was on here.
We got G5, Shake and Bait, and we got Rev J on the mic. So if you guys want to come on in on the
conversation.
What's going on?
And, you know, y'all boys seem like y'all had some good conversation, man. One thing about that side bet, Cadillac, I always bet side. When I bet on the side, I pay like the pot taker. That's just how I go. Wrong on foot, I pay like the pot taker.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of stuff going on. So that's a good way to be.
So a lot of times, some people don't really know what steps they might have had in that race.
Yep.
He got to beat me, he got to clear me. And you don't know that he's on the sideline. Y'all think it's just a straight head up race. He might have won, but if he didn't clear him, he still didn't win.
Yeah.
Hey, DJ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, this Shake and Bait. What it all boils down to is you get a good understanding before you jump off in that river.
Exactly. Absolutely right.
Get a good understanding. If I jump in this guy's pot and he tell me, oh, it's 10%, and I feel like I shouldn't have to pay, then I'm a back out door. I don't want no troubles. I don't want none of that.
The best thing in the world is a good understanding. There you go.
Yeah. It goes down the same way when you meet a woman. Get an understanding of what she's all about.
Ooh, you absolutely right.
You feel me? Get an understanding of what this chick is about, because she might take you through the ringers. You be friends with her, ain't your friend.
The only reason I got a problem with that 10% man is because no one is going to give you 10% of your money back when you lose. So why in the hell should you expect it when you win?
Anyone that's been on this show, and tell me that
they're going to give a man 10% of his money back because we lost the race.
Let me tell you the new rule.
You may not believe this, man. But I seen it happen one time in all the time I've been racing. I tell you what I saw happen. Now, if Kid was on the show, he could contest it. I'm not lying to you. We had a guy here named Joe Penny. He lost the race that he should have won. And Joe told guys to get in line because the guys that lost should have won. He gave them money. But then he had an ass like a fool. Other than that time right there, I have never in life, in all my days of drag racing, from a $100 bet up to, man, I see the trans explode for $20,000. And it's about another 40 on the side. Like I told you, I run Junior Griffin on Donut. We had so much money bet on the side, we had to borrow money from the women to get a pot. And I have never in life seen nobody, say, here's 10% of your money back, man, because you should have won.
I'm glad you said this.
You know something? That's what I said. How in the hell do you make rules in grudge racing? Grudge racing is street racing. I guess I hear that shit all the time. How the hell do you make rules in it? I wouldn't give it. Man, what you going to do? Tell him he got to close the door before you leave. You can't jump nobody. I mean, come on, man. How in the hell do you make rules in grudge racing? Grudge racing is never street racing taken to the racetrack. That's all it is. There's no more than no less. It's street racing that came from the street to the track. We are trying to get too politically in this grudge racing thing. That's what's bringing a lot of problems in grudge racing. And it's grudge racing. We're getting too political with it. It's street racing, man. This is what it is. Cut and dry.
Well,
organized noise.
It's safer now. I thought we were taking a drag.
When guys start cunning,
we ain't got to rub the police no more.
When guys start cunning each other, then you got to make rules.
Grudge racing is not
rules.
Street
that's
racing.
That's been done for years, though.
Grudge racing
done for years.
Grudge racing is street racing with honor.
Ain't no damn honor in grudge racing. You know what I see the guy do, DJ? One of my personal friends told a friend of mine, he was standing up in Otis's garage door. He said, for $500, I kicked the top of that door. He looked. His old man can't kick that damn house, so he begged him. He backed his truck up, climbed on the hood of his truck, and kicked the top of that door. Man, this ain't it.
We gotta let one person speak at a time, but we can get a good understanding about the conversation. We don't want no arguments, no none of that. So let's get it together, black man.
But I'm gonna say this: we don't argue on grudge shows.
Okay, cool. We don't need no arguments with us black men. We getting along good. So. Let's do it for real.
Unless we're talking about racing, but I like how these conversations go. This is how all the conversations are supposed to go and should go. But, you know, a lot of times others just like controversy. I mean, too much kind of they think, I don't know. But I enjoy these talks like this when you can really hear what's going on. And everybody can be involved in them. Now, people ain't afraid to get on the phone and talk.
That's our controversy
scene. But we ain't trying to say nothing. We just talking.
Yeah,
what the hell we said it?
But you're right.
What the hell is for sale? We ain't selling nothing. We talking. We
I buy that for a dollar. How much you want for that?
So the real man, I said, and I live these shows. I try to tell everybody's show, you know, it's just like
it is. I don't want to talk down nobody else's show, but nothing like that. But you know, we gotta start. I like the way our shows go because we don't get personal with each other, and that's what we trying to get away from.
But let me say this easy about that. You know, I'm gonna say this about that show, and I don't have to be right. This is just the way I think. You know, I'm always wrong, so one more time won't hurt nothing. It's kind of hard to get away from yourself, and then when you stop being yourself, you're not true. So that's going to kill your show. I don't think this is going to cause no controversy. I'm going to throw this name out here. I don't think it's going to cause no controversy. No, it's true. I'm going to throw Dog's name out there, Spencer. If Dog start trying to conduct his show in a different manner than what he does, I don't think
you'll
have a show.
Now, don't get me wrong. Let me tell you this, and I'll be the first to say how one man wants to do what he wants to do, that's on him. I ain't got nothing to say about that. I like Dog. You know, I like Dog as a person. There's nothing that I don't, you know, I think he does what he do very well.
That's true.
What I'm saying is the difference I think is I don't think, to me, it seems like it's not original as far as, now his personality is original. I say that. I'm not going to say it. But I don't like when, if you go against what somebody says, you're just wrong. I mean, I don't like the attack when somebody can say something and disagree with me. Hey, I understand. Okay, that's your opinion. I ain't got no problem. I'm not going to get mad at you or attack you if I'm not going along with the norm or what y'all feel, quote unquote, is the norm. That's the part that I really don't like. I can't.
Hey, DJ,
well, DJ, can I?
Hey, DJ,
DJ,
let me
DJ,
ask you
DJ,
a question, DJ. You know the history of Dog. Do any one of y'all know the real history of Dog? Dog gonna be Dog. Dog, that's Dog all day.
Yeah,
dog.
Yeah. No.
Dog been like this here before me and DJ both were born, man. Dog been like this since the 70s,
but
man.
See,
that's just Dog.
But see, man,
everybody
that's why I said.
But let me tell you, that's why I said what I said.
That's why I called his name because he
okay.
I think he's going to be himself.
This.
And I think if he changed, his show would be the same.
Understand this. And I think some may agree. He may have been himself this may be his head, but I think he's taking it a little far in some cases, because you're just having a little too many incidents or too many issues here lately. I just think some things just need to be refreshed or a little bit of ground rules need to be. Because you got more and more people listening to these shows. You got more and more people that want to be involved with these shows, but you got some that's still afraid to be involved because they don't play the game. Like they can't take what I can take. They can't take
I want to say one thing. Everybody watch Maury.
What's up, fellas?
They don't know why though. But everybody watches Maury. Do you get it?
Yeah. No, I can't. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but Maury is a good host. Maury ain't cussing, and Maury is being a real host.
No, Maury is the extreme. That's what I mean. Baby daddy stuff, the fights, the whatever, that's what they tune in for. It's the same thing when they tune in to say, and they hear him say, "Wait a second, bitch." You know, some people like that. And some people say they like that.
But what I'm saying is he's a host. He's not the one really so much doing. It's like this, man. I don't want to get into a thing with saying this because like I've told several people before, Dog is excellent at what he does, and he's good for the game. But I just don't want certain atmospheres or certain things to happen because of things being said, or something being said to the wrong person. That you don't know, or we're all taking stuff a little too far.
Products like that,
myself included. I think we push the envelope sometimes a little too far.
Hey, DJ, I think you said a mouthful right there. You took pride in it also, and you.
I have to include myself because I have done it. I feel like it's been some times where I've kind of crossed the line on stuff that I felt like I wouldn't have said or should have said sometimes in the heat of the moment.
Exactly.
But the problem is like I said before, sometimes you just never know what's going on in another man's head or what that man got going on, blah, blah, blah. We have to be
Let me say this though, DJ. I threw Dog's name out there because the show that he has. I'm just simply reiterate the fact that when a person changed from being themselves to being what sometimes we would say we want that person to be.
I don't want
not so much you want him to change, but I understand what you said. You said to kind of clean it up a little bit, kind of tone it down a little. But what I'm saying is, if Dog did anything different, and I don't know the man but a few years now, but I think if Dog did anything different on his show, I don't think it would be him. I think it seems to me that everything Dog do, and when he go overboard, he'll come back as a man, he will apologize, He feel like he went too far. Someone called me, and he went too far. He go back. He apologize for what he done. But he has to be him.
I'm gonna keep it real for a minute. I'm gonna keep it real for a minute.
Like the background noise.
Basically, what you gotta understand is sometimes the ones that's supposed to be I use Dog as an example since we talking about it. Sometimes the ones that claim they can take it are really the ones that can't really take as much. Because when it's turned around on them, it's usually when they go personal.
I mean, that's true. I've seen it happen.
I've seen that happen with some of the best.
Because I can take that 10%. I could collect that 10%, but if you told me to give it back, I couldn't do it.
I'm not trying to tell nobody to change nothing for that. If it works for them, fine. Who am I to tell you or anybody else what to do? All I'm saying is, okay, if you this how you want to be and you want to continue to be with, that's how you're gonna be over there. I'm not gonna be bothered with you. Right, it's me. If I'm not the only one that see this or see that, and if that's what you want to do, fine. I'm not telling you. I may come over and
and vacation with you for a minute, but I can't be around. There's certain things you just can't be around too long because it just doesn't seem like it's going in the right direction.
Right, right.
You know, so I just look at it from a standpoint of every man gonna be they. Every man is a man, and they do what the hell they want to do. BET is BET. You know, a lot of people say they like this, but BET feels like he's fine, you know, and people tell him, encourage him to do what he, you know, keep doing what he's doing. So, fine. If it works for him, who the hell am I to say anything about what they do?
And it's going to take time for them to realize and see anything different.
Well, I mean, if they may feel like what they're doing is fine, and if it works for them, bottom line is, if it works for them, I mean, they may think I'm full of shit and a weak bitch or whatever, you know. That's fine. That's their opinion. But what they eat don't make me shit.
That's right. And I think as a man, DJ, I think you was 100 way more man than him to tell him what you told him accepting his apology before he even called you an apology. I think that was way more. That's how my dad taught me to be the man that not to have malice.
If I hold on to it, if he didn't care or whatever, if he didn't, you know, if I kept on just letting it bother me about what he said, guess what? He ain't going to give a damn about what he said if he said it didn't care. If I said it, I know a guy that's saying, I ain't losing no sleep, but I might be over here, you know, pissed off. You know, I'm a Christian man, and, you know, I'm trying to be a little more Christian.
Right.
And, you know, actually, I can say this honestly, you know, the shows have kind of made me come out of character a lot more than what I normally would. So I have to, as a man, try to tone it down myself and try to retract and try to, you know, a lot of people do listen. A lot of people do say they value my opinion. So I'm trying to lead by example and try to be more of the Christian man that I was raised to be.
Because a lot of people are looking at you. I understand that.
Yeah,
if you're on the big stage, and you know, you got to lead, like you say, DJ, you got to lead by example. If you don't lead by example, we lost in the mist, man. And for you to be your age, your kids, and I'm 37, and I know you're older than me, and I look up to you the way you're talking, I ain't never met you, but the way you carry yourself over the phone to make sure whenever I meet you, I'm going to respect you as a man.
And that's how we all should be. I mean, that, we can't ask no more than that. And that's all. I want the same respect I give any other man. I don't want no more, no less. And don't think I'm better than no other person on this phone. I just want us all to get along. We do what we love. We gonna have our little arguments. We're going to have this and that. But as long as we can clean it up and you know, keep it straight and just keep it not personal, everything will be all right, man. It'll be all right.
I second that, DJ. I second that.
Hey DJ.
Yeah.
You said you're a Christian, right?
Say that one more time.
And you said you're a Christian, right?
I am.
Yeah, that's good. You know what the Bible say? The Bible say, "Oh no man." So that's why that 10%, "Oh no man, nothing."
I will throw him below the bell sometime, man.
I've been known to hit below the bell too now.
Come on, go
around. I couldn't pass that opportunity up, man. It was just right there in my face.
Oh, man.
That's all right. But at the end of the day, man, that's what it's about, man. Laughter. And you know what I mean? I'm sure I respect wholeheartedly how you feel, though, Low Rider. But at the end of the day, I want some get backs, too. You know what I mean?
10%.
And all. I want that 10%.
Yeah. You know, I laugh and joke with Red, but if a man give it up, I have no ill feelings about it if he give it up. If a man walk up and give you 10% of what he earned, I mean, he could really easily look at it like you said earlier, you know, my car made this for you, so he's taking home $2,700 instead of $3,000. He ain't really hurting. I just said, I'm not going to do it.
But if I choose to give a man something, that's one thing. But
hey,
if a joker tell me in the devil, I'm just not going to bet in pot. I'm not too quick to bet in pots no way because I've seen too much juggle down in pots, you know.
Right.
I get mine on the side, and we're going to pay off the way the finish line said. We don't care what the pot paid. We're going to pay off when we're down there. As soon as two cars cross that 1320 or that 660, we're going to pay the city off here. You know. When Tony Bynes beat DD, I bet it with the beer. Tony Bynes ran DD at a Diaz event with that vet. I bet it with the beer. Everybody on the phone know I'm a beer lover. I bet it with the beer. As soon as both cars left the line, I paid the man.
Good.
Just
that
simple.
We got some background noise.
Hey,
Kay,
would
you find that background noise for me?
Yeah, I didn't care what the pot did or what they were arguing about. To me, I feel like we had lost that. I paid that off. There wasn't nothing else to talk about. But see, I couldn't go to Didi and tell him, hey, man, you owe me 10% of my money back. I just lost being with you.
Hey, Uncle Larry, what you think about that?
Yeah, I'm waiting on Uncle Larry. I'm waiting on Uncle Larry input. He done sat back all night long. Talk to us, Uncle Larry. Talk to us, Uncle Larry. Uncle Larry, and when it got him a little appetite.
Hey, look, you still there? Look, are you still on?
What Cadillac is?
Cadillac got low oil pressure. He ain't feeling too hot tonight, so I had to come in and hold the shores a bit for me. Step in and, you know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I was trying to pick earlier. I was on the phone. I heard Cadillac say his engine wasn't running right, okay, and the oil pressure low. But he said something about priming up a particular pipe or something like that. I was trying to figure out the oil pressure low. Why don't you get your butt somewhere and get it repaired before you go out there and try to make a pass down that quarter mile? You know what I mean? Don't know real soldier.
He said he got to do some testing. He got to do some testing.
He got to do some testing, but don't know real soldier.
He's a testing film stage.
Yeah, hey, he's trying to make 60-foot hits, knowing he need to be going a quarter mile on Friday night. We need to go to the quarter mile on Friday night. You know what I mean?
Hey, Mr. Bread.
Hey, Bread man. Look here, man. Look here, man. Cadillac on the side with the four ways, man. I'm on the side with the four ways. That's all. Mission on the way to fix the flat, baby.
You need to let that go, man. You'll blow your motor, man. You might be back in the hospital.
Don't blow
your motor, man. Go on, heal up, man. Get your motor repaired, dog.
Hey, Brad, man. Hey, I will be good in a minute. Trust me. She's bringing that formula. You know what I'm saying?
So he got this female crew chief coming over later on.
There you go. That boy smart right there. That boy smart. See, that's reading these four ways on. Check it out.
Cadillac, everybody know you run nitrous. But don't try to run forced induction tonight, man. Don't change up your setup. Don't sit back.
Cadillac, man.
And your motor ain't going to take that, man. That's a whole different setup.
Hey, Cadillac, they say you ain't going to be able to get out the water box, man.
Hey, the Cadillac know how to go around the water box when it's time. You understand? Cadillac going to make it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to make
it. I'm sitting here sweating.
I'm hot. I'm hot like an oven right now, boy. I'm busting up in a sweat.
He's going to mess around the red light on us.
Y'all check this out now. Cadillac say, he burning up. This man can't even put his fire suit on, so that tell you right there. If he can't put his fire suit on, he don't need to be even trying to go to no water box. Get somewhere and sit down, Cadillac, and relax, man. Ain't no need to go out there and can't suit up, Cadillac. You can't suit up, man. You can't put your fire suit on. You know you need your neck brace. Don't go out there and somebody.
Wait a minute.
Cadillac, you need that safety equipment, man. Don't go out there like that and you know, protect your neck, Cadillac. Don't do that. If you can't put your five suit on, let it alone, Cadillac. Cause
yeah.
Ain't no need in trying to go to high gear if you don't change your whole setup with no five suit or nothing. Man, please.
Yeah, he right, man. You need to back off, get you some Robitussin.
Yeah.
Get you some Robitussin, some Father John.
Yeah. You know what, man?
Sit in the bleachers this time.
Hey, I'm going to sit in the bleachers, man. I told you I'm in the bleachers with the four-way. You know? I told you I'm waiting for the mention to get hit. That's what I said.
All right, just wait till the announcer. Wait till the announcer to let you know what's going on.
Right. But, hey, y'all know, y'all, I want to say this right here, man. I really enjoyed y'all. Y'all, I got a strict curfew. When I'm on DJ Grant's show, 9:30 is my cut time. And, you know, I got to go ahead and lay it down because I got to cut grass in the morning. But I enjoy speaking with y'all, man. Lowrider, I want to fellowship with you. Top Flight Security, the same. So I look forward to mixing it up with y'all brothers, all of y'all, for real. I enjoyed y'all, enjoyed the conversation. This is the Bread Man. One time for your mind, we'll get with you. At a later time. Peace.
Ugh.
Oh, Fred, man.
I know you're going to leave that one out.
Well, the topic of the night was we talking all this drag racing over the phone and the weather. We still in February. And we should have come around the springtime and get to these tracks and stuff like that and see some good grudging. And all this locking in for the cease, for the stop. We should get into some warmer weather. And I think it's going to be a good year for this 2014 grudge season. What you guys think? Who's still on with me?
Yeah, that's Shake and Break. I'm still on. I'm still hanging with you, player.
What you feel about that, Shake?
Man, I believe we're gonna have a real good year this year. Everybody's in up their pace and fixed their cars up and came with a different mind and mindset. So I'm looking forward to it, bro.
Okay. That's what's up. We got they have some races this weekend down in Mississippi, Big Clark's race down in they told me that it was in Meridian or some old one of them but then they say Collinsville. I don't know exactly where it's
Collinsville,
Mississippi.
Yeah, Collinsville, and then they're gonna leave there and go to Hattiesburg.
Hattiesburg for the Fat Tuesday race, right?
Right.
Yeah,
so Collinsville started yesterday and today, and then they're going to go to Hattiesburg Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Yeah, that's good. That's good early starting as far as, you know, this season, getting them cars right and getting them going down. See, that's the thing about the guys in the north. We can't, our weather ain't like that, so we got to wait till the weather break to get to the tracks and the earth to get a little warmer where we can, you know, test and tune our cars or stuff like that. That's the big advantage the south got on the north, I think.
Yeah.
Far,
yeah,
you know, far as the weather and stuff like that.
That's true, because we only have, we got a short season because we up here in the north, but, you know, they always welcome us to travel and go down there and get our little testing tune on or some racing. But when we do come out, it's hell to pay the piper.
Yeah, well,
I heard that.
Yeah, well, you know, it ain't like I say, it ain't nothing like your home track. You can run up and down your home track all day and night. More so than traveling down, you know, going to one spot just for one weekend and, you know, you got your dad's wrong. I'll pull out your scalp and you ready to race. Now you got to come back home to this cold. So
yeah, ain't nothing like home base. Our season don't start what Milan don't start to April, what, 5th, 3rd, something like that. But the brothers normally, we don't normally come out and bring our cars out until about mid-May.
Right, right. I saw Hood, you put something on Facebook, I think it was yesterday, the schedule for Milan.
I think it's April 15th or 19th. I ain't sure. I put it up there the other day. But hopefully this year, we so cold here now, I just hope it's like a normal break, you know? Because it kind of got me scared by it being so cold. Our race season's so short. I'm paranoid that I just wanted to start on time. It's so cold, I don't want this to go in the spring like this.
No. Right.
Below zero is kind of getting dead now. It's getting the same old story every week.
Yeah, we supposed to get a little snow, I think, tonight until tomorrow until Sunday. So a few inches of snow. We've been below zero.
This year going to be real good, though, because everybody on the same page. I think they're going to be a lot of engaging this year, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think there's
a lot more grudges. Last year we had people that had grudges against each other, but it seemed like this offseason some of that's been spilled over, so they got to put up. They got too much on the line as far as reputation not to put up this year. There's some people talking cash shit this winter. I'm talking about cash.
Yeah, I want to see all this talk and put them cars to talking.
Exactly. It's almost time for them cars to talk.
I know
that's right. That's why I've always said, you know, I said please, like I told BT before, I said you show got a lot to say. But I said, I give you my permission to put me on blast if I don't do exactly what I say I'm gonna do.
Yeah, but
you know
I
he heard
gonna,
that.
Hey, DJ,
you meant that.
You
meant
permission. Oh yeah. Yeah, buddy.
I heard that. And I meant that what I told you. Bag it up. I'm talking about a bag it up.
Oh my. Yeah, I think this winter we had everybody telling me it's normal, and it was the normal build up. I think it was a little more shit talking this off season than previous. It's always a lot, but I think it was a little bit more.
Well, you know what I think they're gonna be mad about. The problem
is the rubber is finna meet the road. If he was down, they're gonna have to show and prove it. I mean, like I said, you know. The problem is your mouth can say a whole, your mouth can put you in some stuff that your butt can't get you out of.
I heard that.
Hey,
everybody remember what you say.
Hey, DJ.
Yes, sir.
T.I. got an old rap song. He say, you got an alligator mouth with a hummingbird ass.
Hey, baby.
We got a lot of hummingbirds up this way.
But look, hey, baby.
Yeah.
The comment on your topic earlier, man, on these guys locking in and it's snowing the ground. You know, back in the days we didn't have these talk shows. We used to hang out in the garage, the exact same thing. I want to give me a crap table. Drag race, a huffy. They gamble. We gotta do something. So this is what they do. We said we put ghost races on the air because we can't race. Now, if you happen to come to me with a race that I booked, and I don't like it, but you liked it, all they're gonna say is I don't remember that for this race season. I'm gonna say that. We gotta do something. You know, it's cold. It's snow on the ground. Guys can't race. So you do something. Like me, for instance, I can't afford to race now. So I sell this damn radio all day. Listen. And talk shit to the guys that racing. You know, that's just what hustlers do.
Well,
yep.
You know,
shadow
box.
I think what they, a lot of guys got mad over is because of certain guys got awards at the Grudge Inc. banquet. I think they deserve them. I think the people that voted, they was very precise on their voting, and I think that the people that had something to say, they keep so much BS a part of Grudge Racing, and it don't supposed to be that. You got two cars going down the track. Somebody got to be the winner. Somebody got to be the loser. You can't just keep on winning, man. It's virtually impossible for you to stay young. You ain't gonna stay young all your life, man. You just keep living this earth. You gonna get older, man. And I think those guys got a little pissed off because certain guys won awards, and I think they won them. And
they because you didn't get Grudge Race of the Year again. Now I won't say upset, but whining. That was mostly Tony Bass whining. Because he didn't get Grudge Race of the Year. Like I asked Tony earlier, and I like Tony as a gentleman, I like it. But I asked him on one of the shows, why wasn't you concerned with the criteria of what it takes when you was winning? Why is it such an issue now that Grudge Race of the Year week, now that one voice has won, you didn't win? If you want to know the criteria. If anyone should know, you should know, or two of the years in a row. Will you agree, DJ?
I heard my name. I'm sorry, y'all. I stepped away from the conversation for a minute. Tell me what you said again right quick and I'll switch on it.
Now, I say, he said about guys crying. I said, really? Only somebody was whining was Tony Bass about Grudge Race of the Year when he has won it two or three years in a row, to my understanding. Well, his main thing was, what is the criteria to win? Hey, if anyone should know the criteria, he should know. If he don't know the criteria, it must not be one.
I'm going to give you
what I think really
happened there. I was going to say something else, but I don't want to kind of shift the thing that the bottom line is the votes were the votes. And, you know, if anybody did anything close as far as races was concerned, it's going to make me contradict myself a little bit. It is what it is. I mean, and you are right. You know, he should know more than anybody the criteria. But he was not the people's champ this year, I'll just put it that way. You can't downplay what he did this year, but I mean, as far as, you know, the votes came in like they came in. Hello?
That's all. The votes came in the way they came in. Accept them and move on. That's what I say. How could you not know the criteria?
I'll say this. When I heard, I said, Lord, I got to hear. I said, as much as we get into it, we're there almost every Tuesday night. And I said, I got to hear this man the whole year say, I'm real Tracy. But,
hey,
it's all good, man. I mean, it is what it is. It lets people know, you know, anybody can do it. I mean, he Grudge Race of the Year, and I don't want to say that either, but she knows.
He's a Grudge Race of the Year, but that's
not
a
Grudge
Race
of the Year. That's not a
Grudge
Race.
Right.
Grudge Race of the Year.
Like
it or not,
it wasn't a bad choice.
It wasn't.
No,
definitely.
No, it wasn't a bad choice.
No. Not a bad choice. It was a good choice.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
I said it could have went one of three ways, and he was one of the three that I said could have went to.
It could have went one of three ways.
Yeah.
And truthfully, you know, I said all year long, I said Coach Killer should win, but I also said it would be an injustice if Wick don't win. Because the main reason I said would be an injustice is I said this several times. Because he asked what the criteria was, and that's the game he played.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Cole Killer, Tony Bison.
I mean, that's just it was. Those are the three that was in my head. You know, those three individuals. I mean, and one of the three won. I mean,
right. And Wick himself said, Cole Killer walked over to him and said, "Hey man, you beat me out. Congratulations." That's it. That's all. I ain't working on next year.
That's it.
But you know, like I say, if I play the game the way you tell me to play it.
Uh huh.
It shouldn't be a problem when I win.
Exactly.
I'm doing exactly what you tell me to do. I mean, to the left, to the left. Wick did exactly what.
Yeah, he wanted it.
He set his eyes on it.
He wanted to be clear on what it take to win it. He did exactly what he needed to do, and he won it. So I mean, I have to respect the man that he went after what he wanted, and he got it.
DJ Mr. B, y'all got Bobby Wildchild's on.
Hey, Bobby, what's up?
How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
I've been
sitting back and listening to the conversation there. I didn't want to mute my, hit the one button because I was trying to feed the boss lady and she might slap me in the mouth. But since I got a stomach full of mine, maybe she'll leave me alone. Hey, I just want to say something real quick. March the 8th, down there, US 19, if y'all ain't doing nothing, come on down. We got Atlanta, said they're going to invade Albany. We're getting more and more locked up races down this way. And we got a 650 and a 750 class, but it's going to be more grudge racing, I think, than anything. So, man, I got guys down here fixing up all kind of cars and it's going to be kind of rough on somebody. So any of y'all cats from up there around, I know the guys up north, I know y'all can't come because y'all got too much snow on the ground up there. But DJ Grant, you and Butt Nugget, come on and holler at us out there. We're gonna have something in store for everybody on March 8th at US 19th.
I'm pretty sure I might show up down there to support you, Bobby.
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
And I do appreciate it. You know, like I said, you know, we try to get things off the ground, and you know, I'm gonna tell y'all, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna shut my mouth. I'm about like Jay. I done had enough of the foolishness. I'm laying my gun down these days, and I'm taking the bullets and throwing and taking them out of the. I'm like Jay. I'm tired of all this negative, and I just done had enough, man. I ain't got time. I got to look for something big and better.
It takes the energy out of the game. I mean, you know, we gotta, you know, I mean, I don't want to call nobody negative or this or that or that, but we got too much negative issues going on in the game.
Yes.
And it ain't promoting what we like to do. You know, it's getting away from what we like to do.
Yeah.
More so than lifting it up. So.
Well, man, what we're doing, we're dividing ourselves more and more, man. You know,
yes.
If anybody said we're not dividing ourselves, you're crazy. That's what it is. You know, you just, people just, I mean, you know, I mean, really, I just had enough. I'm being honest with you. I'm into the church. Hey, I'm a deacon in the church. And I heard you say about how this stuff will pull you away from from what you know better, because the Bible tells us again that, you know, you use your tongue for praising, and then you turn around and curse, and the Bible clearly said this ought not to be. So, you know, and I know I gotta refrain, man, because I done heard of, you know, you hear a lot of stuff, and it become part of your vocabulary, and then you use it.
That's true.
I ain't studying that. It's just like a garbage can, man. If you don't wash that garbage can out, it's going to smell like fish and everything you put in it. But every now and then, you got to go wash it out. You know, if we keep it washed out, then you'll never know the garbage can. You know, not really, you know. But, man, I got to refrain from that. I know better. You know, I just got to. But for us, we ever coming together. I know y'all heard about the Willie Lynch, and They said that, you know, black man, the strong man against the weak man, the light-skinned man against the dark-skinned man. And he, and at the bottom of that thing, he said, if you would do this, you would keep them in slavery for thousands and thousands of years. So I'm going like that. I'm going to tell them something right there. We got to stop that mess, man. I ain't got time for it. You know, if I ain't got nothing good to say about you, I'm learning to keep my mouth closed. All the criticism that I hear about the track, I'm through with it, man. I'm through. I'm gonna let it speak for itself. And you know, I'm gonna say this: you're welcome to come, and if you don't come, you're still welcome. That's the only thing I got to say.
Can't ask for more than that, Bobby.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey guys,
let's give a round of applause. We got a very special guest just called in. Give him a round of applause. Thank you, sir, for calling in. Mr. Five Speed, your mic is open.
How y'all doing, man? How y'all doing tonight?
Five Speed, what's happening?
Ain't up to a good show, man. Good show. I was listening. I'll talk about some good stuff tonight. And the guy carried on. Everybody getting along good. And I just want to chime in. I heard a man now from over there, US 19, a minute ago, on there talking some good stuff. And, you know, we just got to keep everybody just got to keep it real, man. Just keep it real.
Yeah.
You know, with all the negative stuff, and everybody stay on the positive side. I tell you, we got something going here. You know, if more and more people talk and carry on the way things have been carried on on this show tonight, you know, just a little talk and fellowshipping and everybody talking in a positive manner, you know, I think we can really overshadow all the negative stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And, I appreciate listening to a show sometime where, you know, you don't have so much controversy. Now, controversy as far as Bunning Miller and getting that water box, now that's the kind of controversy.
Exactly.
The show is about is locking in and engaging. You know what I'm talking about? Locking in and engaging. That's what I like. I want to hear a man. I like to get on the show and this man call and say, wait, what you want to do, whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
And they might talk a little trash and tell us, and lock it in, you know. All the politics, you know, put all the politics to the side. Then lock it in. But what I want to chime in for, I want y'all to find out, is that in a big time call, I love up north. I used to come up that way up in, I've been to Milan before. I've been there over there in Byron, Illinois a couple of times. I've been up there to been up to the Grove and stuff, and I just like the atmosphere with the people up there. You know, it just I mean, everybody gonna carry on and stuff, but the people show you love. That's what I like about up there. Everybody show you love, man. You go up there, they make me feel like a king when I come up there. I miss it. I'm gonna come up there because they come on there and praise you. They think I'm Obama.
They make you feel like a king because you're a living legend.
They let me know things that I didn't know. You know, they don't mind letting you know it up there. And people, you know, and little kids and even grown ups and everybody, all of them. You know, I was up in Byron, Illinois when I stopped in Milan that Friday. You know, a lot of guys came out just because I was out. They came over and told me, said they heard that I was coming out there. I was going to be there that Friday. And a lot of guys came out that normally don't come out on Friday night, you know. And up in Wisconsin, you know, they had a great show up there. I think I came to Grove twice. I came to Grove twice. And, you know, every time we have a good turnout, great show, you know. And I was hoping that, you know, they could get something going again up that way. My buddy Big Drag, you know, he had a couple times that he did it. Big Drag was kind of, you know, pushing it. I was following him, you know, coming up there to support him and stuff. And over in Byron, over in Michigan, I was supporting old Mr. William Plant. You know, they talked me into coming through there that Friday before I went over to Byron, you know. And he got some good tracks up there. And like I said, great people. And so I was hoping that if somebody gets somebody going. Don't forget the big tie card. You know, that's all I mean. I hadn't been there. Now I just hadn't had no challenges from that year. If I get some challenges from that year, guess what? I'm in the house, you know. And so I've talked to, what's his name? The other Camaro. God dang it. The new 2010-11 Camaro.
Lil Tony.
I talked to Lil Tony and Liz and all of them. You know, we tried to work out a few things, but it just didn't come together. But I think that we're going to get something worked out this year. You know, I've been up to 31 a couple of times, you know. And, you know, I don't mind traveling. I love this game, and I love the camaraderie that goes with it. And most thing I love about it is getting hold of somebody's tail. That's my main thing. I mean, want to get some. I'll be out for some tails. That goat be want to buck and butt somebody. You know, want to put the horns on somebody. But you know, they've been ducking and dodging here a little bit. But hopefully this year, 2014 will be a lot better. You know, with Grudge Inc. And then, you know, we got the World. Everybody don't forget about the World Grudge Nationals. We got the World Grudge Nationals out in Austin, Texas, July the 4th and 5th. And also, I got to show myself here. I got to get a hold of Mike Hill again. I got to show the Hitman that he ain't hitting on nothing. So, he's going to be just a man. And I guess I'm going to take the hit out of that man. But on March the 23rd, 2014, Montgomery Motor Park, it'll be warming up enough for y'all guys to get out the snow. If you ain't doing nothing and you want to come down and have a good time, I got a class where you can get in where you're sitting in. I got 470 heads up classes. I got 470 head up class, 530 heads up, 60 heads up, 70 heads up. I even got something for your streetcar guys, 80 heads up. And good racing and testing tune all day. Kids 12 and under free. So you bring your family. You got a kid or whatever, bring your family out. You know, if you want to travel, get out early and see a good race, a good show. We also got Real Tree and Buck Naked locked in for that day. We got Stone Cold and Greg Pruitt locked in for that day. Then Peanut out of Dallas, Texas, he's coming in and he wants one of the Tree Men, Mike Hill and myself. He wanted one between us and Tree Man, so he's just coming to see if he can just get some crumbs, get the crumbs off the big tile. So I told them two guys to come on. When I get through the mic here, I'll blast them both. I ain't scared to run three races in one day. You know, so if you all guys, if you all, like I say, if it's room enough for y'all to get out next month, we got that's 3 weeks from tomorrow, March 23rd on a Sunday, we're going to have one of the greatest shows on Earth. You know, Hitman versus Hill, along with all the heads up past graduation, testing tune, and all the fun that you can have. And a family-oriented event, you know, you can bring your two-year-old son or your great-grandmother if you want to. And I guarantee you there won't be anything that you will be ashamed of. They won't see anything that they will be ashamed of. And with that said, like I said, y'all got a good show here going. I'm going to go back on mute and listen. I love to listen and laugh. You know, y'all get funny to me.
Mr. Five Speed.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be looking for you at Albany this year. I ain't saying you got to come with your fast machine, but
hold on. I guarantee you, you'll see me at US 19. I'm working on, I'm fine in the morning, putting that Cavalier back together. And that Cavalier, I'll be at US 19 with that Cavalier this year. I promise you that. That's a promise to me, from me to you.
Okay.
I told you that last year, but I just couldn't get it hard. It wasn't too cold, you know. I'm going to put that Cavalier together, and I'm going to, because I couldn't get that many races with the GOAT as I wanted to last year. So I put the Cavalier together, and maybe if I can't get a race with the GOAT, I can show up with Cavalier, and they'll jump on it. Somebody jump on it, you know.
We
I like to engage.
Well, like you said, we changed the track prep, so we're using VHT now, which just seemed to be a whole lot, like 100% different. So it made a big difference on the track, so, and that's what we went to. So, but anyway, though, so I'm letting you know that now I'm working on. It won't be no GOAT no more. So I had to. I guess it just put too many goats out there, so here one of them had to go. So I guess that was me. So I'm gone. I'll be coming back as a Camaro. So you better watch it. because I may be coming at your goat. I may be coming at your goat. I'm telling you.
I understand, and that's what I want you. That's what I like to hear. I want a man to get on here and tell me that he wants this for a piece of me. I love that. I ain't got no problem with it. I love you, brother. I mean, if you man enough to challenge me, because I know if I was somebody else, I'd be scared of me too. You know what I'm saying? If you brave enough to challenge me. I wonder how long it takes y'all to catch that
now. Oh,
if I was somebody else, I'd be scared of me too. But whenever a man challenges me, that's where I live. I love it.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I ain't scared of you. I asked you for the the head up break, but you kind of, you reneged on me.
But I told you that I couldn't give you the head up break because I got that GTO. For anybody that look like me, if you look like me, get in the water box another lane.
DJ Grant, we gonna do something. You know, we're going to take him for the corner. Ain't that right,
DJ? But every time I run somebody from their home, a man got famous off of me giving him the shit. And every time something happened to my car, it just wasn't for me to win no race, giving nobody a hit. I give a man a hit. I bought a pistol before he run. I give him a hit. I wrecked my car before he run. I give him a hit. Battery go bad before he run. You know, it's all stuff that kept happening. And he got 5 wins there off of technicality, but they don't count the technicality. They say that he just whooped Mr. Five Speed, so that made him famous over a four-year period.
The only one thing I want you to do, you know, something to have. I just want your bear to go dead. I don't want you to put no pistol. I just want the bear to go dead.
Must be my battery to go dead. Everything. I keep an extra battery, an extra ring, an extra transmission, an extra clutch, extra pistols in the car. If I got a time, I put a pistol in. If you give me 2.5 hours, I'll put a pistol in and be ready to go.
I'm coming back with a smaller motor now.
I'm going back to the Cavalier. What I told you when you told
me
that.
I got a smaller motor. I got a
Cavalier coming out.
I got a small motor. I'm going to a smaller engine. I'm going to a 540. Because I'm on bike race now.
I tell you what you do. When you get you something that you feel like you're going to handle me, then you come on. But don't come ask me for nothing. I ain't giving up nothing. Now. I don't talk like other guys. You know other folks, if you ask somebody for something, they'll tell you they ain't got but something other than some bubble gum. That's all they got is something in the bubble gum, you know, but I don't talk like that. So anyway. I'm getting your other lane. All I can tell you is get in the other lane, get in that water box. You get to that water box. And if you want to hit or something like that, you got to take it off that tree. If you can take that hit off the tree, that'd be your hit. Your lights drop. All you got to do is hit before I do, that's all.
If I had 5 gears, you hear what I'm saying? Because they call you 5 speed. If I had 5 gears, may I give you anything you want?
I don't believe it. But I tell you what to do now. I keep a spare transmission. I love your transmission, clutch, bell housing. I got an extra bell housing, clutch, transmission, a yoke to go on your drive shaft. Man, I got a drive shaft.
I don't need all that. I can't. That's why I told him I was going to quit UPS if they give me another standard shift truck, but I didn't want to shift no more. So they gave me an automatic. So I ain't got time to be doing no shipping. Hell, you see, I can't go out of track when it's changing itself. I'm out there wrenching it. What do I need to be changing the gear for?
Well, now let me tell you something about that. If you get in these race cars and go up and down the track, if you ain't had no wreck, you ain't been racing. That's all I say about that. If you're a real racer, you don't wreck the folks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's just going to happen. That's just something that's going to happen. You can't control. That's what they call an accident. It's an accident. You cannot predict an accident. You cannot control an accident. You cannot tell when it's going to happen. If you stay in the road, you're going to have an accident, and that's all there is to it. I hate that happened and everything. And like I said, whenever you know people could get on there, they get on here and talk about, well, he should have did this. He should have did that. He should have did this. You can say anything you want to. You get your butt behind that wheel. Get your tail behind that wheel.
Yeah,
now, you make that decision. make that decision and 90% of all the accidents that we have as racers, it's 90%, I'll say 99% of them, is driver error. We
right.
stayed with the car too long. Every time I wrecked the car, it's been my fault because I stayed with it too long. I had one wreck that wasn't my fault. Somebody ran into me. That wasn't my fault. But every wreck that I've ever had.
Yeah, I was there that time.
Yeah, but every wreck that I've ever had, you know, I've told out three Pomar. I had three Pomar cars sold out in a 10-year period. And every time, it was my fault. I just stayed with it a little bit too long. I made the wrong decision at that split second. You know, when I could have lifted, if I had lifted when my man first told me to lift, but now on the head, I got him about half a car length. I can make it that other 200 feet, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or I bagged off the gas. You know, one time I bagged off the gas, and I said, well, it's almost straight, and I stabbed it again, and it wasn't straight into the wall where I went, you know. And upside down, flipping out, you know. And when I sit back and think about it, you know, it's most of the time a driver. It's your own. It's a misjudgment on your part. But,
on your part,
you know, all that said, as long as you can get up and walk away from it, I've been blessed. That's why I go to church every Sunday when I'm not racing anyway.
Right.
And I pray. I pray for the Lord to keep me safe, my family safe, and everybody else. I pray for everybody.
Right.
I pray for everybody because we all make this world go around, you know. And you don't know who you might meet one day, what person you might meet, you know. That's why I love to meet people. I know a lot of people all over the country. I met people from Texas to Florida to Wisconsin up to Washington, all over. I've just been all over the place and meeting people. And it's a great thing
when you get the opportunity to do that, you know.
All right. So, I agree with you on that. Yeah, I love the fellowship. Like a lot of guys know you. And you have, you know, like I think I met Gadget down in Florida, and I met a couple of guys up in Illinois. As a matter of fact, they're coming down to Albany on the 28th of June. So I'm just saying, I met so many guys, but you know, you really don't know them, and I want to put their name in, put that voice with that face. You
know? That face, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. That's why I'm trying to listen to them all. I said last year, you know, I used to be in meetings every evening, and I couldn't talk on the radio, get on the shows. I'm going to try to get on a lot of these shows, you know, just anyway. They're like I heard Jay Barnes, you know, Grudge Inc. man, manager of in Atlanta, governor in Atlanta. I heard him talking about this show on Friday night, and I said I'm going to make it my point to call in on this man's show and give my support. Grudge Racing, I love Grudge Racing. I have a class race sometimes because I can't get no grudge racing. But I love grudge racing. This is what I grew up on. This is what I started out on. Me and Mr. What's his name? Lil Will up there in Detroit. Lil William, what's his name? God dang it. I cannot think of his name
Uncle
right
Willie.
Now. Anyway,
Uncle Willie. They call him Uncle Willie.
Mr. Willie. I know Mr. Willie. Yeah, I know Mr. Willie Plant. And all, you know, them guys, they helped me out. They helped me get the motor that I got now. You know, I had when these little big motors came out, I just knew. I gave up. I said, no, I can't afford nothing like that. I can't afford no motor like that. And they knew about a deal on one, and they called me. But if I hadn't been traveling and going to Michigan and different places, I never would have met Mr. Willie. I met Mr. Willie out in, I think we was in New Jersey. He was at a track in New Jersey. We were running NMCA. And I said to him, I kept telling him about this black guy that had this 5-speed Camaro. Man, they were some bad jokers. And at the first place I saw him up there, they had a 32 car field. They had about 48 cars. And a 32 car field. And that old long, skinny plant would pull up there, goddamn, and come up out that hole with that goddamn Camaro and get the count on them gears. And boy, I just heard you have chill bumps. It ain't nothing like a good sound, a stick shift car going up through there, counting off the gear. Boy, and I used to have chill. He just give me chill bumps every time I see him lead a line. And I had to go over there and talk to them guys. And I met them then. And I used to follow them around, watch them run them NMCA races and stuff like that. Just because they were there. And you know, just by traveling and meeting people, they can help me get this deal on the motor that I got now to be able to compete with some of these big, bad wolves out here. See, they wolves. I'm a bear. I'm a bear.
Oh,
wolves on there.
whatever.
Yeah, a wolf won't miss with no bow. You never know. Yeah, if you ever noticed that, a wolf won't miss with no bow.
Yeah, you will.
A wolf will attack anything else but a bear. Now, you won't attack no bear. He'll attack anything else out there in the jungle, in the forest. But he won't mess with
a bear.
Bad boy now. You yeah, a bad boy now. That's what I'm talking about. I ain't bragging on myself. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me bag that. I'm a bear, but I ain't bragging on myself. I'm pulling my chain on these people, but I ain't bragging on myself.
I'm gonna ask the guys. Don't y'all think he's bragging a little bit?
You know,
it's just like a pond. He said, if another frog called another frog and said, man, how is the pond? He going to tell him hell is full of water. He said, but it's dry here. But he going to say, come on down. This pond is full. He said, but it's a pro frog that don't praise his own pond. So that's what he's doing. He just praising his own pond, y'all. Praising his own pond.
Yeah.
But see what's going to happen when somebody come over there and see it, there ain't no water in that pond.
what's my name? What's my motherfucking name?
Ain't no water in the pond. That's going to be a mess. Hey, that's going to be like five people, somebody slapping right. But you know what, though, now, Mr. Firesby, I got to tell the listening audience, I know they listen, that, you know, you done gave out a few ghosts butt-whooping, too, you know. So y'all got my, I came to Montgomery, when I ran Dolomite, and that ghost got away, and, you know, you borrowed him for a little while, and you said you was going to bring him back, and when I came to Montgomery, and I ain't seen him since. I don't know where he at. I can't find my ghost.
Yeah. But you know, you know, I'm gonna tell you something about them ghost whoopings. Now, ghost whooping, you think about it now. If you didn't have nothing to challenge the other man, you wouldn't have been in the other lane beside us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't see it as no ghost whooping. You know what I'm talking about? Because I guarantee you, if his car had ran and my car had made the trip. I believe both of us, if we had made a full pay, I believe I would come out on top anyway.
If though you didn't, I wasn't dying there. You burnt up your clutch, you blew your hood scoop off, and this man sitting over there looking, they said, he said you made the fastest time in history. That took you about 92 seconds or five minutes and 92 seconds to get down there. And that ain't a ghost whooping, y'all. Y'all tell me what that is.
He had time to come on. You know, but if anybody else had blown the nitrogen explosion when they went to crack a car, blew the hood scoop off, they would have bagged their car and went back to the trailer. But I don't like to pay no punk out. Then I would have had to pay the punk out money. I would have drove 800 miles and paid punk out money. So I wasn't finna pay no punk. I'm like, you got to foot me. That's going to show you. Don't give up.
That's true.
You
that's
know? And then
stupid,
and the guy with me that had put some money in the pot, he just got so upset. Man, why would he go ahead and line up? And the car threw up. Why he going to go ahead and line up? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now, even though he don't want the money now, and if
he
had a little agreement and stuff, you know, we don't want the money, but he's still upset. The car I lined up and thought the car was right. Another thing is, when you get a whole kind of commotion going on, like what's happening there, I'm trying to get the car back. I got back in the car, started the clutch. I hurt the clutch too, but I forgot to switch on my nitrous valve. That's all that was wrong with the car. But the car was down the track and won the race, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
Okay.
One thing I've figured out in this racing over the last 25 to 30 years, that you ain't going to win nothing if you don't run.
you won't run
right.
not one thing. If you don't line up and run, see, that's why I line up and run with people. I'll run anybody because I know that it could go either way. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose.
Right.
And I don't want more than I lost.
But see, what happened is that ghost, see, when you were having all that problem, that ghost went over there and stood in front of that guy and had it messed up. He didn't know what to do.
I'll tell you something. See, I evaluate a whole lot of things when I go to run a guy. I do my homework on him. When we got there, before I got there, you know, I had a man the night before. He was there testing the night before. He tested maybe about 6 or 7 pairs, and I had a man filming it and sending it to me. And I had already figured out how I was going to whoop him. And the way I was going to whoop him was just the way I whooped him. He wasn't going to take off no way. He wasn't going to take off no way. He wasn't going to take off. And I told him, if you ask the guys in my camp, I told him how I was going to whoop him. I just didn't run the fast that I thought I would run, but I told him that he wasn't going to never leave the starting line because I know how a car works. And I know if you have a certain type of problem, a certain type of issue with your car, you cannot get in no pressure run like that and it work for you and make it work.
Yeah.
You can't get no pressure. Well, all the pressure on him, not on me.
Yeah. You know, I hear a lot of people, since you said that, I hear a lot of people talk about racetrack and how they be, you know, a track don't work.
When they talk about track don't work, that's that they don't know how to run that track. You know, they don't know how to race that track.
Well,
I've been to several tracks that's real hard to get down. It's real hard. When you got as much power as some of these big tire cars got, you know, it's hard to go to a track that's not prepped for that type of horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
But it don't mean that you can't go down that track. You got to know how to tune your car to go down that track.
Yeah.
It's about tire pressure, clutch. That's why I stick with a clutch. That's why I don't like automatic. You know what automatic means?
What?
Every time you go out there, you automatically got the same thing you had last time. That's what automatic means. You got the same thing every time you go out there. Automatically, you got the same damn thing you left with last time. See, now that clutch, if it's too tight, clutch too, the track too tight, tighten the clutch up. The track too loose, loosen the clutch up. You know what I'm saying? Bag down the power. Automatic, you can't do them bag down the power and power. And you still got the same goddamn wheel the motor ratio.
Well, I see the track is like tuning a car. That track could be working fine one day, and you go back the next day, and it won't work worth a crap. And people don't believe it. I just like tuning a car. You can put your car in the drill, it'll run fine, and I'm pretty sure everybody got a race car that did that. And you go out there and crank that sucker back up, then skip it. And you ain't done crap to it. So it all depends on the tuning of a track. I look at that since been a track operator. Man, this damn thing changes like the weather. It'll work good, it'll change, it'll go away, you can't bring it back, or it'll work, you just don't know what to expect from a track. I don't care. I learned that. Track got a mind of its own. The weather, the humidity, I go out there some days and some track, you can see the dips in the track. You come back the next day, track smooth. Wonder where that come from? The moon changing or the earth shifting. I'm going like, wow, this stuff is crazy. So I've seen a lot of that. I tell you.
Oh yeah, you see a lot of it. You know, you look at all these so-called great tracks. You know, they just had a race at a great track. And the first time I ever went to that particular track, I thought it was the best thing since sliced. The best track I had ever been on besides Milan. Milan, up until I went to that track, I went to Milan. When I came through Milan that Friday, Milan was the best track I ever seen. You know, I ever been on, I ever run my race car on it at that time. And then when I went to this particular track, it was even better than Milan. I like Milan. And the last time I went to that particular track, it was nowhere, it wasn't half of what it used to be. You know what I mean? It's got a reputation, but it didn't have that dip out there
at the 300-foot mark at the time. It didn't have no water come up out of it and stuff at the time, you know. And like you said, things changed, you know. We were one of the premier tracks in this area in a 200-mile radius of me anyway. And now the track that right here in Montgomery, where I said was a marginal track that wasn't compatible with Milan or that particular track, I think it's just as compatible to Milan, and it's about the same as Milan to me. But the other track that I thought was even better than both of them, now it's not half of what either one of these are. You know? So you got to go all the way. You got to go all the way to West Palm. I would have to go to West Palm. I've been on a lot of good tracks, even that track in Gateway. Was that Missouri? Now, that's a pretty good track, Gateway. And that U.S. 31 is a great track. You know, when I got up, that's why I say I like to go up that way. And even up there at the Grove was a good track. I didn't have no problems up there. You could put whatever power I had, I could use all my power. When I say a great track, I could use all the power that I know how to put on it, tune the car up to. I could use all the power that I had, I could put on the car, put in the car on those particular tracks, you know. So, yeah, but well, man, I done got on here and took over these folks' show. Everybody got quiet. Problem. Let me get out here and somebody else talk. Man, I appreciate y'all's time. Appreciate y'all letting me talk. You know, if anybody know me, I know that I can talk. So I can talk to them now. So,
no, we just listened to you talk, Mr. Five Speed. You ain't did nothing wrong. You and Mr. Wildchild, y'all doing your thing. Y'all talking drag racing. That's what we. That's the name of the game. That's what the radio station all about. Talking drag racing and fellowship, and like you said.
All right. Yeah, I got you. But I appreciate the time, brother. And I want to be a popular man, even more popular this year. So that's why I'm trying to talk with everybody's shows. I'm trying to hit all the tracks that I can and hit all the many shows, race shows that I can. I believe that's one of the criteria of being the grudge racer or the big time grudge racer of the year or whatever. You know, you got to engage and I'm doing this for the fan. This part here for the fan, but the other part, you know, when I get ready to engage is for the racers, you know. But this part here, this talking and stuff like this is for the fans and stuff, you know. And I try to get the fans their part and make sure the fans get their part and make sure get my challenges get their part too. I hope I can get hooked to a few motels, a lot of motels this year. Mr. Willie building a new car up there. Willie and Platinum building a new car up there. And that's their main goal. You know, they had a little mishap there at Milan there the first time out with the car. And they building another car. And their main goal is to cut that goat head off. They coming out here to get that goat. I'm gonna come up there and give them a piece of that goat. But I told them I definitely will oblige them. They can get a piece of it. So, I hope he have it ready. I know he probably won't have it ready in 3 more weeks. I know he won't because I just talked to him the other day. But when he get it ready, I might have to come to Milan to get him a 31 or one of them. But I'm gonna come up there. They gonna come down here and we gonna have some fun this year, you know. And like I said, I like that. I like coming up on that end. Like I said, you got some good people up there, good and a fan, good hospitality and stuff. So, you know, I don't like to stay in the same spot all the time. I like to travel around. And when you travel around, you meet new people. That's how I got the second car I got. I met a man. He came and talked to me in my trailer. And he just by me standing there talking to him, he thought that was amazing that somebody could have a car and run it at the top and be number one qualified in a full mod field like that. And I was standing there and talked to him that long, and he had a car sitting at home, wasn't doing nothing with it. And he told me, come and get the car, truck, trailer, everything, and do what you want to do with it, you know. And just because I've decided to travel. See, if you travel, and, you know, that was way up in St. Louis. I mean, that guy fell in St. Louis, you know. And that's all about. You get around, you know people, you know. You get to meet people. You find out how things run and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Do things
You know what? Since you said that, you know, I had to go to the operator meeting up in down in Panama City. And I wish a lot of the guys could have came
and see how NHRA do stuff, and also came to the banquet. Now, I could have brought many people as I wanted to. It didn't make any difference. But, you know, like you said, when you get out and do stuff, I did not know, you know, the stuff I know until I went to that, you know, the track operator meeting. My wife, we took the test for certified, you know, calls, you know, for, yeah, like fake test. She passed the test, I passed the test, and I had another guy with me named Ray William White guy. He came down, and then that night went to the banquet. I did have a bad experience because about four doors down from the, when the motel that we were staying in, a lady, a little one-year-old baby, you know, got drowned. And I was trying to do, my resuscitation to baby. Man, I couldn't bring that baby back for nothing, but, man, that tore me up. I tell you, I tried everything. I heard a scream and hollering, and went for a lunch break, and I ran back. And, man, to see this little baby, one-year-old baby, just, you know, so innocent, you know, and kind of turning blue. And I'm trying to bring him back. I'm saying, come on, little baby, jump off. But he never did. But, you know, if the guy was to get out, yeah, just like you're saying, and see stuff, and see how the other people organize stuff, maybe we cut down a lot of confusion and stuff that we don't understand and try and do. Because I was talking with the guy from California that over NHRA, and this is one of the things I asked him, Mr. Fosby. I asked him, I said, oh, you know, we got some guys that are doing some grudging, and, you know, we trying to figure out a way how could we bring it into, you know, maybe something like NHRA, you know. And he said, I would love to see that. This is what the guy told me now. One of the big division managers of NHRA, he said, I would love to see it. He said, but now, this is the first thing that man hit me with. He said, now we're going to have to do something about safety. And you already know that they're going to push that. They're not going to let you come out here and compete in some of these events and you know, no license or your car certification or your seatbelt on this fight or, you know, guys, you know, all this stuff, bad, you know, I mean, all, you know, and that one of the things, but, you know, but they wants to do something. And, yeah, but like I said, I would love to have brought Jay and, you know, some of the guys, I'm pretty sure Mike and probably been in some of that stuff. I don't know if you've been in some of that or not, whatever. But I would like to brought Jay and Pro Stop Joe and let Pro Stop Joe stop shooting off the hip and let him get some insight and see what's going on. Just like he was, when I was trying to tell him about my car, I said, man, my car's a 25-1E chassis. But Pro Stop Joe didn't know where a 25-1E chassis was. He didn't know what a 25-1E chassis was. But he was telling me, man, you know, I'm going like, man, you get you a chassis book and read up on this stuff, and then you'll know what people are talking about and stop just shooting off the hip and don't know what you're saying, you know. So, but anyway, I'm going to tell you what I would love to see. Man, I would love to see just a lot of these guys just come together with all the arguing and stuff, you know. And, you know, you could say start down there in Florida with Ballin, Big Low, Running Brian, myself, you, Mike Hill, Pro Star Joe, Jake Barnes, Little Tony, or Gadget. I don't want to leave out nobody, but y'all know what I'm saying. Man, I would just love to see all these guys come together and just, you know, and just let's fellowship and let's do some racing. I don't care if it take 3 days or 4 days. You know, I believe it would be, you know, that's when you can get that, just like you said, keep it family-oriented. That's what I do with all beings. We're going to keep it family. Now, you ain't going to disrespect not on the microphone. I always have. If you get on that microphone and you want to curse, I'll tell you in a minute. If it looks like you finna curse, I'll take it. No cursing. And if you start, I'm going to snatch the mic away from you. Because, you know, you can call somebody out when I have to. You know, now, if you want to curse somebody, go over to the corner and get with him and curse somebody. But not on the microphone when you got women and children walking around there. But I would love to see that, man. And I believe that would be one hell of an event, you know. If you start on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, or whatever you got to do, you know, either Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, man, I would love to see a love like that. That's what I want to see. You know, we come together and have a real, you know,
but you know, grudge. You know, that's one of the main top priorities of the World Grudge Nationals. That's why it's a 25-member team effort. It was supposed to have, we try to recruit teams from all over the United States, from north, northeast, you know, northwest, midwest, the middle of the United, all over the United States, to get 25 teams from all over the United States and try to come up with a world. That's what the name of the World Grudge Nation. That was the purpose of that, is try to get everybody together under one umbrella, at least all the grudge races. And, you know, we probably have a few class races in there and stuff, but that's the purpose of the World Grudge Nationals. We try to create something like the big races, like they got the big, everybody's talking about going to the big race down in Fat Tuesday, down in down in Mississippi and stuff. You know, and the World Grudge Nationals, our efforts are to try to incorporate and get everybody together in grudge racing all over the country to have a one big meeting a year. Kind of like the guys used to do up there, are still doing, the United Black Drag Racers out there in St. Louis at Gateway, to have something that's a big event for just grudge racing, see. And the one we're having out in Texas now this year, out in San Antonio, Texas, you know, we all getting together and trying to put on a race there, and we're trying to get people from all over the world, all over the United States. We have buses. We're trying to line up buses that come from different parts of the country, Florida, Michigan, you know, New Jersey or wherever, you know. They come down, they bring people down to the race. If they don't fly or drive, you know, we're just trying to get people from all over. And see, then next year we may have it in the Midwest or somewhere like that, or up on the East Coast, down in Florida. You know, we're moving it around. And that's the purpose of World Grudge Nationals, try to get everybody under the grudge racing umbrella. You know, you can still do your own thing. Everybody can still do their own thing. They ain't trying to step on nobody's toes. They ain't trying to take over nowhere. Because everybody going to still have their own show. The World Grudge Nationals is a once-a-year event. We try to do it once a year and have this big meet with all the grudge racers from all the different factions. You know, if you got a rider with this, you got a club in Detroit, and then y'all got a rival with some guys over in Illinois or something. You know, get everybody together in the one umbrella, and let's have this big grudge race event every year. You know, if you're trying to get 100 grudge races, 100 grudge racing lock-ins per race. You know, last year we had about 40. You know, we're hoping to have even more this year. And if we try to get up to that magic number of 100 grudge races in one day, 100, that means two cars locked in. 100, so that'll be 200 cars, but 100 cars locked in grudge racing. That's the purpose of the World Grudge Nationals. And then we can do that and get people, you know, Donnier, Beers, Professor, King Navy Professor. I can't name all the guys, but we've got all the guys out in Texas. Got balling them from Florida, Big Low, all of them coming. They got different ones. I can't name all of them. I haven't put the list in front of me. I don't have a list with me. But anyway, we just try to incorporate anybody that invited. We don't discriminate. You can be a part of NGRA or ARA, ACRA or whatever it is, graduation. As long as you're graduation, you're invited to the World Graduation Nationals. Get your man, lock him in. Pick your poison. Pick your poison and go after, you know. And that's what that World Grudge Nationals is about. And if everybody could, it's going to be hard to please everybody. And it's going to be hard to get everybody to agree on everything, you know. So you got, and you got competition. I don't care what you do. If you do something that's successful, you're going to have some other group or some other person's that's going to try and duplicate the same thing but under a different name or a different umbrella. That's just business. That's just the way the world works. You cannot down another man for trying something. If another man trying something, that's just what he's doing. You know, that's what he does. You know, he trying to create something and make the best man win. I guess that's the way the world works. That's what they call that, capitalism.
Just like McDonald's and Burger King.
Right, yeah. You have Burger King, McDonald's, all
they
that.
All sell hamburgers. Yeah,
they sell hamburgers. Right. And they got a different flavor. And the good racing is a total different flavor from class racing, from NHRA sanctioned racing, IHRA racing, ADR, HA, America. They got all kind of different entities out there in racing, you know. But grudge racing is one of a kind. Now, I don't think there's anything else like it. You can only be a grudge racer. You can't duplicate it. You can only be one. It can't be duplicated.
I never could cross over that line yet. I like to see what a grudge racer, to me, you go out there, you give it all you got, that one, I like y'all say, sniper, one shot, one kill. But see, I like the target prices. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, sit ballers up out there on the plane. I like to pick them off one by one. Here, try to get them all gone. See, that's me. That class racing. I pick your ass off one by one. Like you say, two cars go down, one come back. And I have done my share of picking them off one by one. And that's the difference, I guess, when you say in class racing, because you try to run consistent, and you go by it like you run the 470. 470 is all about running consistent. Kill them on the tree and make sure your car run the dial in. I ain't ever been too tight on the grudging part, because number one is I'm stingy when it comes down to my money now.
Yeah.
When I lose my money on the red light, I want to go get in that car and kiss you. Because you don't got my money, shit. I want to get in there and ride with you.
The class racing part of it, the class racing to me is like playing the lottery. You go and buy your lottery ticket, you might have to wait a week or 2 or 3 days or maybe that to that evening or something to find out whether you won or not, right?
Right.
With the grudge racing, it's just like you done won the lottery instantly. You ain't got to wait but approximately 4 to 5 seconds. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
you gonna know whether you won or lost. Right, that's right. The same thing, scratch off. But that's the point. That's what I learned about grudge racing. You can become instantly a winner, instantly famous. You know what I'm saying?
Or instantly broke.
Or instantly broke, but you went away. That's why when all they were talking about, locking in 2,500 on 5,000 and 5,000 on 10,000 and all that. And I told them, you lock in with me 500 on 2,500 or better. That way, if I did lose, guess what? I'm going to still go home and eat just like I ate before I went to the race. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna do everything just like I did before I ran that race. I'm not gonna bet no money that I can't stand to lose. I can't stand if I had the money, if I had that much money to lose, I wouldn't bet it. Not at one time. I would not bet it at one time because that would hurt my feelings. I don't want to do nothing that's gonna hurt my feelings. See, I can lose the race and it don't really hurt me that bad. Simply because I don't want so many. I don't want enough races to where it don't hurt me that bad to lose one, But
well, losing the race ain't the problem. Losing my money was my problem. Okay.
That's about the problem now. Now you can believe Song Dog can say anything he want to say. Yeah, if you get in that pocket, you done got his attention. He can't stand there. I don't care who it is.
Hey, that Kool-Aid face come on. That was that Kool-Aid face come on. When you think you're finna get you a good old good cold glass of Kool-Aid, but mama didn't have no sugar, she done put all the eyes, and you come on and pull you a big glass, and you take your big swallow, and you realize there's no sugar in it, boy, you fine all up. That was that Kool-Aid phase for you.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid phase, boy. I said, I just, Bobby being a one man army, I just had to bet my little five. So that's about my little five hook. So here am I. I'ma tell you, Tony Wright said, I'm the only man. My lockup be my first two. I said, hell, you right, Tony. I lock it all up and my race. So yeah, $500. Let's get with it.
I got a question
for you guys, man. I'm going to just put it out there. What day would you like to race during the weekend? Would it be a Saturday or would it be a Sunday event? And tell me why would you like to, you know, if it's due to the fact that you got engaged as far as work or anything like that, would you guys like to race on a Sunday or a Saturday or whatever you can? Or
I would like to race on a Saturday. But I like, you know, like say Friday, give me time to get there, race on a Saturday, and Sunday I could be sitting in church. I'm just gonna be straight up and down about it. So that's the way I'd rather. I'd rather that if I had my preference, that's what I'd rather do, where I can be sitting up in church. Because, you know, you done been out there in that race car, running up and down the track over 100 miles an hour. The Lord done kept you safe, you know. So now, come on, let's go give him some thanks, you know. But now, don't get me wrong. I have raced on Sunday and probably still will at some time. But if I had my purpose, I would have raced on a Saturday and be back home again on Sunday. I could go to church. Yeah.
Well, in my opinion on that, I've been racing a long time, and I promoted races along to shows ever since. I was holding my first show in 1999, and I've been promoting shows every year since then. And all of my shows have always been on Sunday, just simply because from a business standpoint, I've tried Saturday races, and I've been in a lot of Saturday races. And it's just from a business standpoint, I look at other business, I treat it as a business now. You're going to get more fans on a Sunday afternoon than you will on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. You know, because a lot of times, a lot of people who have to work these presently now, it used to be that, well, on the weekends, on Saturdays, everybody, the majority of your people were off work. Now, in the workforce, 80% of the workforce have to work 6 days a week. Or on the weekend, at least a half a day on Saturdays and stuff. Where in fact, say 10-15 years ago, you might have had probably 40% of the workforce that's working on the weekend. You know, like in department stores and stuff like that. But you got so much competition now that more people have to work on Saturdays, and a lot more people are off on Sundays. Well, a lot of people work on Sundays also, but you have more people off work Sundays than are able to go to an event. So I look at it from that standpoint. If from a promoter standpoint now, you're going to have more, in my area, I feel like that. I can't say for everywhere. In my area, you have more participation from spectators on a Sunday afternoon. You may lose
a few
races.
Now, Mr. Pryor, remember now, he said if you had your preference.
If I had my preferences, I would like to have it on a Saturday. But that would be my preference, and I tried that. And I just did not get – when I did the first one on a Sunday, I saw the difference in the spectator count, and I've always done them on Sunday. And I feel I might miss that Sunday, but I'll make up for it some kind of way. I get a lower his time. I try to give him his time, you know, regardless. And, you know, I believe he understands
that we live on this earth.
You got to be able to live on this earth. And give him his praise also. And I think that he understands, you know, at some point in time that you may not be able to give him his praise when you want to or when it's supposed to be done, I guess, on a Sunday. But I think that I give him praise every day, every morning I wake up, all day, every day. So I think that and that's my belief now. That's my personal connection with God. You know, I think that he understands where I come from, where I'm headed, and he knows what he has in store for me. And I think that he's working with me. I say I'm a work in progress. I feel like that.
Yeah.
He's working with me. He ain't done with me yet.
And I think everybody is a work in progress, Mr.
God Pastor. Don't care nothing about you not coming. Am I my still open?
Yeah, your mic's still
on.
Who's speaking with?
Okay, what's up, Mr. Five Speed, living legend in his own time? God don't care nothing about you not coming to church on Sunday or Saturday, because you only go into a building of worship. You praise God on a daily fashion. And like you said, I try to at least speak to everyone. We all at some point in time will miss out and during the course of the day I'll say, you know what, good morning, Father God. Been at work 9, 10 o'clock and hadn't said nothing. But the church is within the man. That place we go is just a building of worship where we all gather around and gather together. The Bible says, fret not to assemble themselves together. So we're just assembling ourselves there. But we have already been to church before we get there. So when you praise God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can praise Him already anyway. That Sunday is just a meeting place for us.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. But now the church more than just a building. Now, I'm gonna, you know, if you go back and look at the Bible, when he was telling, you know, David, he said, you know, hey, you know, David wanted to build the temple. You know, he said, because he'd been dwelling in them tents. And he told David, no, you can't build me no house. And when the Lord was talking to him now, he told him, you know, and he said, why? Because you had blood on your hand. But he let his son Solomon build him a house, and that was the, you know, the tabernacle that he built. And you know, when they built the tabernacle, they said all the smoke came in, and it was filled with the Spirit of God in there. So I'm saying, you know, don't get me wrong. You're right. I'm not disagreeing with you. Just a building. But it's dedicated to God and for that purpose only, to serve and to worship Him. So like you said, he said, as often as you can, assemble yourself together and worship and praise Him. But the church do have a got a very powerful, you know, it's God dwelling place. If you go back and you look at that, when they put the altar.
God dwelling place. I've been working. Y'all make me shout out again. See, now we didn't got to raise the something that I love the most. But let me say, what's your name, sir? So who is this? I got Mr. Fancy. Who is the young man here? Hey, what's Mr. Wildchild? Listen, God's dwelling place is within man. It's not within the building. You know, people get up in church and you hear them say all the time, the Spirit just walked out. If the Spirit walked out, it's because someone walked out. God dwells within man. That's what He made. When God kneeled down and blew the breath of life in those nostrils, He was blowing Himself in man. That's what He blew in man. When man deceased this earth, the last thing man do is go, and that's the Lord coming back to get Him what He gave man. He come back and get that. That's that breath of life. So no, Mr. Wildchild, that building is just a place of worship that we go to assemble together. That can be anywhere. You don't find no building that Jesus went in and assembled. You see, he went into the hedges and byways, and he preached to those that would hear him. He didn't look at no building. When God said, "Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail
against
it," He was not speaking about bricks and mortar and wood. He was speaking of man. He built His church within man.
I'm still going to say, well, we ain't going to get no argument. Praise the Lord.
See, some people
have praise the Lord.
They say that's two things you never should bring up around people is politics and the Word of God. You know, we can go on and on and on.
Right.
The grace and mercy.
You know what, baby boy? You know what? Mm-hmm. The word of God is something man should always bring up.
Not never bring it up, but man should always bring it up.
Because the Bible said we should praise the Lord in season and out of season. So we should always bring it up.
We got one thing in common. We do. That's right. We do know that man is Jesus. That's all what matters.
They got a church on one.
We got church. We talking now. Come on. We got church.
I'm not going to argue. You know, longer we on the same page, you know He is this. You know where your health and strength come from. I'm all good with
that.
So, okay.
Amen.
Amen, Mr. Bobby Wildchild, Mr. Five Speed, Mr. Cadillac on the line. Y'all woke me up talking about the Lord because the Lord is good. You understand what I'm saying? But he say, let you have no other thing before him. You know what I'm saying? See, this race is good. This race is good. Don't get me wrong. But, see, you can't put racing in front of God. Because, see, when you put it in front of God, everything gets turned around. You're jealous. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There you go. Church. Church. Now, that's real talk. Now, you're jealous God. You're jealous God, man. He's jealous, man. And, you know.
Go ahead. I'm hurt.
Go ahead, Mr. Bobby. Go ahead. Go ahead.
He's a jealous guy. I mean, see, one thing about it, that's why I know I have to govern myself at the time, you know, getting on these shows and cussing and saying stuff.
No, that ain't me.
You got to govern yourself, man. You got to, you know, they tell you about that little tongue. See, that tongue is a what? Can't taint it. Smaller part of the body.
Hey, Mr.
Wildjack. Hmm?
You know what
he's saying?
In the book, in the book of Ecclesiastes, around the 5th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, you see where it says, power of destruction lies within the tongue. But listen to this here, and I'm guilty of it. I heard Stella say earlier tonight, you know, he's guilty of it sometimes, and we have to try to, you know, redeem ourselves and collect ourselves and come back within our own self. But listen to this here. Man put all these titles on these words that we use. Because when I say go to hell, hell is in the Bible. I say the word bitch is in the Bible. I say you a lie is in the Bible. I say ass is in the Bible. So what am I saying? It's not the word, it's how we fashion it. It's how we use it. It just don't sound good when we use it in the wrong term. That's about. It's not the word itself. It's that we just use them improperly. You know, certain things I can say with certain words, it just don't, and that's supposed to be a Christian, so it just don't sound good.
Yeah. Well, we use them.
But God not going to hold my foot to the side for that.
Well, I was using them in some bad ways, then, so I can confess mine. I know I was saying stuff. I'm going like, hey, and I'm just let the Bible say, he said, we use the tongue to praise him, and then we use it to curse, and what he said, this ought not to be.
That's right.
Amen.
And we all are guilty of it. That's why he said in the word, he said, all have sinned and come short. We all are guilty.
Amen. We all.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all, now, somebody's going to hurt y'all. They're going to beat us up by locking up with the law tonight.
Let's talk about the Lord on a good relationship. They're going to be the talk all this week. They're talking that bull crap, talking about the Lord and talking about this and that. That's what they're going to say now, but you know what?
I don't give a fuck what they say about you.
You just driving that car, the good Lord steering it.
You just in the cockpit.
Amen, 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 amen to that. Can I say this? And I'm going to kind of like sit down. I don't want to talk too much. But let me tell you something. Y'all know I had a wreck on November the 30th. And my car was doing some crazy stuff, y'all. I mean, that car was flipping. But you know what? Do you know, because we always pray. I always have my prayer. Track. We're going to pray on the microphone now. But when that car, I always pray the people go down the track safe, come back safe, up the return road. Everybody leave, they'll go get home safe, and when they get home, find everything all right. That's one of my prayers. But you know when that car was flipping, Mr. Five Speed, to this day, I have not been scared. I got up that morning and went to Sunday school and taught Sunday school and got up Monday morning and went to work, and they say I was going to be sold. I have not been sold
yet. So I know, I said, you know what, boy? I said, I must be a child of the Lord. Because he sure was protecting your black self in that car.
Amen.
So I just, and I got to give him praise.
Now, Mr. Fast Speed, now, Mr. Fast, now, Bobby Child, now, that right there, you said a mouthful, because see, it's one thing about God. He has favor and mercy on all of us. Ain't none of us no saint. We do what we do, but we still reverence God. See, if you keep his praise in your mouth, he's going to look out for you.
He will.
That's it. So, you know, man, it's strange that this topic done came up tonight because, man, I was Cadillac sick, man. But, you know, Cadillac feeling a little bit better now because you're speaking about that word, man. See, you know, man, God is just, man, God is just awesome, man. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to lift him up when it's time. I don't care what nobody say, man, we're going to lift him up over here. If you don't like it, then you know you can go and change that channel. You know what I'm saying? I know you got love for you, but if it's meant for God to come in, I'm letting him in. I ain't studying what you talking about.
Amen.
Keep going, roll on with the show. Keep God in it, and we going forward over here. Because, man, God, we be out these tracks, and God let us do what we want to do, man. You understand? You go to the track, and you want to run this guy, look like the clouds gonna come on in. But then somebody done said a prayer, and, man, look how he working so quickly, come in and move the clouds and give you favor.
Yes, sir.
And let you enjoy yourself. So you have to always honor him. When somebody come on and they put God in, man, get with him. Don't leave him hanging on. Well, I don't want to let him know. Man, hey, I'll let you know. God is in my life. God is everything to me.
We're supposed to put God first in everything we do. On my building at my shop, I got the name of the company, and I got a Bible verse. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Lord, and prosper. Isaiah 54:17. Now listen to Shake. God take care of old folks, babies, and fools. And you just figure out where you
take care of all of them.
You know, we know you qualify. Just figure out where you fit in at.
Figure out where you
fit in.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm the first to say, but you know, the Bible says don't call no man no fool. But he didn't say they call your own self no fool. So I don't think I can say
that's it.
I both be a fool, take care of me. So that's all
we be foolish.
We all fools now. Hey, we all young and old fools, but you know what? It's one thing about a fool. When he learn better, he do better. He want to do better. So that pull him out of there. You understand what I'm saying? So when it go down like that, hey, it's a whole different look. You don't look at a man a different way. You look at that's your brother. You still pull him up. It's like our other brothers out there, man. We just have to pray for them. They might not be on the page we are. They still with that negativity, but that still don't mean I leave him. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I still got the glue in my hand out
like
there
the
to grab and pull him.
You know the song brother said, I heard the Wiggum brother did this song years ago. He said, the only time you should look down on a man is when you're helping him up.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
That's it.
The only time you should look down on a man.
Yes, sir.
You know the Bible tells us.
Listen to this again. I got to get back to work because y'all start talking about the Lord. I have to start working again. But I'm going to leave this with you, brothers. I'm going to continue to listen, but I must get this truck rolling.
Yeah.
It is good to know that there was a man that came on this thing we call earth that had no sin and taken on
no sin.
A sinful body, filled it up with sin. Went down in that thing they call hell and shook it off. They gave man a chance to live. Now listen to this. It is good to know, and sometimes I just send chills to my body. I've had to pull my truck over and clean my face sometimes because it's good to know that Jesus came here and died that
yes,
I might live.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That I might live again.
Yes, sir.
Man, listen.
Amen.
I gotta get back to work. With your brother keep talking. I'm gonna listen. Now I gotta go.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir.
We can have life
more abundantly. Yes, sir, boy. Right. And ain't nothing wrong with being rich. He said he wants to have life and have life more abundantly. So, hey.
Right.
Was that DJ say he had to go back to work? No, that was me. The Lord never said there's nothing wrong with being rich. What
right.
the Bible said was, he said the love of money.
Yeah, the love
he
of
said,
money.
For
that
the love
right.
of money, many will mm-hmm. wax cold.
Right.
See, we can't love mm-hmm. money. We can want money. We can need money and have money, but don't love it. When you start loving money, you put it above God. Now, I guess
mm-hmm.
I'm on this, but I got to get back to work. I keep listening to you, brother. Y'all keep talking.
Well, I say this now. I love what money do for me. I don't really care too much about no money because the money ain't no good to me unless I can spend it.
That's it. That's it.
If I
can't
spend it, ain't no good to me. It
ain't no good
to me. I have a whole lot of money and can't spend it. I love what money do for me, but that's about it.
Yeah. And like the Bible says, I ask people sometimes, whether you'd rather have money or would you rather have love? You know, I ask them that sometimes. Some school, they kill a little puzzle. But let me tell you something. What God got in store for you is all yours.
Yeah,
and your blessing is your blessing. And one example I give folks is, and I've been saying it in church, I said, it could be $100 bill laying on the ground. People will walk by it and won't see it. But if it's for you, somehow or another, the wind going to blow it or push it right in front of you so that you can
hallelujah.
Hear it.
Hallelujah. And that's
my
done happening. That's done happening.
Yeah,
come on, come on.
God will do it. My son was going inside of, I think, the Olive Garden. Somebody had them drop, I think, the income type money. They don't know how much it was, but it was, you know, some hundreds in there. They'd say a bunch of hundreds or whatever. He walked right back, sitting there playing the day. And the other lady came right there and picked it up. She said, baby, this is your money. You see what I'm saying? So that's how God bless you. What's yours, you can bet you're going to get it.
For you.
I ain't going to get Mr. Five-Speed blessing, and Mr. Five-Speed ain't going to get my blessing. He going to get what deserved to him.
What he got coming,
that's it. So,
but,
and then
you like
jealous
this
because... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead on there, Reverend.
I said, but I need some people getting jealous because God bless us differently. And then, you know, sometimes I don't think we could, you know, we ask for things, you know, but sometimes we have to be in the right frame of mind. You know, like I tell people all the time, man, you know, if we were to really just take yourself out of this, if God would just take us right now, just take Jesus come down and shoot us up to heaven, with John up there
mm-hmm.
on Island Patmos and take it up there right quick, and we be in this mind. Man, we come back, bring us back down here, we'd be crazy as a bit, bro.
Our
spiritual
right.
mind cannot stand to see what heaven's all about. We think these nice island and paradise, all this stuff these folks have around here, man, ain't nothing but a garbage hole compared to heaven. So our mind,
that's why
John had to be in the spirit when he was seeing all this. Your regular
but
mind
now,
can't take that.
Mm-hmm. But now right there, Mr. Bobby Wildchild, now you said a whole lot there. But the key is that, see, God has to choose you. You can't choose God.
Yeah, that's right.
See, the Spirit has to choose you. So
mm-hmm.
if God is in you, he going to bring it out of you. It may take him time. He know what he got for you. He
mm-hmm.
know what you just – see, you have to understand your calling. See,
mm-hmm.
see, you never know how – you can be blessed, how you can bless somebody else. See, I like
mm-hmm.
trying to bless somebody else. If I got it, I'll try to bless them. Hey, you know, it
mm-hmm.
takes this. When I leave, I say, pass it on. You understand what I'm saying?
Because,
right. see, that's
right.
the key to get the blessings, bro. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
See, all this other stuff, this radio talk, it's cool. But, man, when you come down and talk to the man about the man upstairs, you got to break it down. And when you break it down, you have to be up under the teaching that's real so you can get it. Because, see, man,
right.
the pastor that I have, dude, I used to have rings and I used to have jewelry. I got it upstairs, you know. I give it to my grandkids now. But, dude, he told me 20 years ago, you're going to cut all your hair and da-da-da. I said, look at that, man, you crazy. I got long hair. You understand? But see, God, he worked it out because he had me taking care of these two young ladies. And these two young ladies, they was mama and daughter. I'm a stranger. You understand what I'm saying? And I thought I was just doing